Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 198.
Hi.
My name is Christopher Keo, and I am here with Jeff Chorney.
Hey, what up, guys?
And Travis Baum.
What's up, Scoots?
Normal crew for the first time in over a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's been a while.
That's crazy. And it's two
and
weeks
not the same song.
2 weeks to Indusfest.
It's been a while. Two
Did I mention it's 2 weeks to Indusfest?
Indusfest!
Indusfest!
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So, welcome to 198. My name is Chris Fricchio, and I've already introduced everybody, so I'm going to just do it again and not.
All right.
That was horrible. So, Jeff, what's up?
Run with it. Not much, man. It's good to be back. I've had an interesting, like, I guess 3 weeks, or I guess 2 weeks. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Ace High was in here, up in this bitch.
Yeah, how was that, man? Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He loved it here. He got that Canadian maple leaf tattoo behind his ear.
Get the fuck out of here.
Are you serious? Did he really?
No, he really did. Yeah.
Where at?
Like where did he get it?
Yeah. Behind lower back?
Ear. No, behind. One step above lower back, behind his ear.
Oh, get the fuck!
You said that's one step above? I was going to say below, but that's all right.
Oh. Oh, man.
Well, guys don't get lower back tattoos. I mean, come on.
That's true.
Well, I mean, yeah. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. Friday, we had the Retroids Toronto meetup.
Cool.
Which was it's pretty good. I mean, Zvari came out, Dave Gallant, of course, Jeff Better Tomorrow, and Mike Strife, who I have not met before.
Cool.
He's part of Retroids community. Him and his wife came by. And it was kind of funny because that's still a story because we were all there. We were supposed to meet at, like, I can't remember what time it was. It was like around like 6 or 5 or something. So we all got to the place, and we're there for a bit. And we have no idea what Mike looks like, first of all. He doesn't know what we look like. And we've had no contact with him in, like, more than 24 hours since it was, like, in the thread being like, all right, guys, well, we'll see you guys tomorrow. So we're just kind of looking around for, like, someone awkwardly looking for us kind of thing. And then at some point, I was like, well, I hope he knows to meet here or whatever. And then I guess we got to keep our eye out for someone. And someone asked if his wife's coming. I was like, I don't know. He put into the thread that his wife wasn't going to come because she had something to do. So look for one dude. And then Better Tomorrow turns to me and goes, well, I saw one guy kind of walk by us. That kind of looked like he was lost or whatever, but that was like a while ago. Next thing you know, some dude just comes right up to our table and goes, hey guys, I'm looking for a G-off. Like, so right away, I'm like, okay, this is obviously him. So it was him, and then right away, Better Tomorrow looks at me and goes, that was the guy I saw earlier. It was pretty funny. You kind of had to be there, but it was a fun time. We kind of just hung out there for a bit. And afterwards, we just came, a few of us came back here and just kind of played games and shit, and had some wobbly pops. It was good times. And then after that,
I love the term wobbly pops.
Oh,
I don't
wobbly
know why.
Pops.
I just think it's funny.
Wait, I haven't been like educated. Like, what is a wobbly pop?
It's a beer.
Like
it's
a brew.
Beer. It's a beer. Yeah. It's a brew. Yeah. There
okay.
You go.
Cool.
It's a pop that makes you wobbly.
Oh, see, I understand.
There you go.
Because it was so complicated, right?
It was so hard to mentally digest because of I can drink so much alcohol with like barely getting drunk. It's you never know.
Anyway, right. So then I got sick after that, and then that kind of sucks. I'm still kind of sick right now. It's kind of turned into like a sinus infection. Now it's finally, I think, going away. So I have a little bit of a cough and sniffles and stuff like that. But
did Nate do a good job of filling in for you?
He did an excellent job, actually. He did very, very, very well.
I think he fit in very well. He did
I think everyone has ever said it on us. Like, even, like, yeah, everyone usually does a really good job. So, we got a good group of people.
Awesome.
We hold down the fort.
Hell yeah.
That's for sure. But yeah, that's about it, man. Just looking forward. I booked my flight for Indusfest a couple days ago, so it's now official for me to be there.
Woo!
Not looking forward to the flight, of course, because my whole flying issue. But other than that, I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Hell yeah. 2 weeks, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited, too. Travis, what's up?
Oh, not much, dude. I'm really excited, actually, because TV's starting back up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm excited about TV.
It's actually weird for me because I've actually got
one set of
shows leaving and one set of shows coming in.
Right.
So,
yeah,
works out pretty well.
I know you're really pissed Jersey Shore is almost over.
Totally pissed Jersey Shore. I don't even know what channel that's on, to be honest with you.
That's because never mind.
Yeah. So like, it all starts off for me like during like
the jokes are flowing tonight.
They're
dude.
Flowing, man, and they're all gold. That's the good thing. It's all gold. Like everything has been funny tonight.
Yeah.
Just like that. But no, yeah, the football season usually kicks off a great, great TV season because it's time for like good little short shows like you know, and you got like I can't remember any shows I watch on TV now.
Awesome.
You watch How I Met Your Mother, right?
How I Met Your Mother, Parks and Recreation, Sons of Anarchy, all those good shows that I love. And then like in a month, Dexter starts back up, a lot of the good, you know, premium channel shows. So I'm super excited about that. And it really gives me something to do at night except for playing video games. Because during the summertime, it's like all video games, all backlog stuff. So
for real.
Yeah. So I'm super pumped that we get like our TV shows back. So, but we'll save all that good stuff for the TV podcast that we do. But we'll fast track this so we can hear him talk about video games. So I need to talk to my man, P.S. What's up, man? That's you, Chris.
Papa Scoops.
Whatever. Not much. We went to see this past weekend. We went to see a movie, Contagion. I don't know if you guys have seen
this. How was that?
It was kind of freaky.
I want to see that too, but I kind of didn't want to go while I'm sick. That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Probably not. Here's the deal with this movie. It's a good movie, but you walk out of that and you start thinking to yourself, "Holy shit, that is probably exactly what would happen." Because it's basically just like this new virus gets out and they're trying to handle it. And, you know, they go through like all the steps of like how they handle a virus and how they cure people. So it's like
SARS in Toronto.
Sure. But it goes through the entire timeline of what's going on. And when you walk out, it's kind of freaky because it's like, holy shit, that could actually happen. You know, it's not like scary or anything like that. It's just a drama type movie. And, you know, I thought it was good, but, you know, it's just kind of like walked out. It's more realistic than that.
What?
I think.
Was there at least a monkey in it?
Yes, there were several monkeys in it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, then I'm going to watch it.
Well, that sounds exactly like it.
Yeah, I know you're into the monkeys, Travis. But other than that, that's about it. Just getting ready for Indus Fest. I'm excited.
Invest.
2 weeks. Let's do this. So, Indus Fest is in 2 weeks. So if you guys, I sent out the PMs on Retroids. I know that there's other people coming that are not on Retroids. So if you guys need any information or anything like that, drop me an email. We got lots of locals coming this time. We went to Battle and Brew and talked to them, and there's lots of shit going on. They're going to be advertising all the tournaments and stuff within Battle and Brew. So it's pretty exciting. It's going to be fun.
I like those guys. They're pretty nice to us.
Can we, let's talk about, we're still not 100% sure what we're doing for Extra Life, but, chances are number one, we are 100% doing Extra Life. It's just a matter of if we're doing it at Battle and Brew or if we're doing it at Jason's. Right now, it kind of seems like we're going towards Battle and Brew. So, when we have more information on that, we will let you guys know. But, that's it. So let's talk about some games.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, you missed last week. You go first.
Yay, what I played. I beat Deus Ex.
Nice.
Cool.
I completed that shiznit. Threw up my review actually on the site. You can find that at www.interactivedistractions.com.
Which is awesome, by the way. It's a very good review.
Thank you very much.
I highly suggest you guys go check it out.
I appreciate it. You kind of motivated me to write a couple more reviews. I'm not scared anymore.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
I liked it overall. I think I loved it. That's
you liked it overall. Yeah,
it's,
you think?
yeah, it's definitely on my game of the year list for sure.
For sure.
Right when I beat it, the first thing I did. There's four different endings in the game, depending on what you do towards the end. Right away, I restarted a save closer to the end and went through it and tried to get like the majority. There's one of them I didn't get just because I kind of gave up on doing something that you're kind of supposed to do it towards the end. I was like, screw it. I'll probably do it eventually though, because I'm totally planning on going back and playing that game again. Because it was long, but it didn't seem that long when I went back.
But, yeah. See, for me, it's because I'm having to play it in such small chunks. It does seem like it's kind of long. I pretty much just got to Montreal. But from what I understand, I mean, I think I'm almost to the second boss. And from what I understand, getting to the second boss is actually more than halfway through the game.
Yeah, I would say so. Especially since you spend about 20 minutes in Montreal. You don't spend that long there.
It's not long. It's one area.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like it's you go through two areas and then you're done. That's what it kind of seems like.
I wouldn't say you're about halfway there though. I'd say you're hovering around halfway. I wouldn't say you're over halfway.
Okay.
I'd say you probably, depending on what you do for the rest of the game, you could very much be halfway there time wise in terms of like what you want to do.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's four bosses, which isn't this one thing. The last two bosses they're kind of like kind of close together, sort of. So
Yeah, and going back to what you were saying, Jeff, the designer's choice to allow you to save a game right before you make the final decision. I haven't seen something like this in a really long time. And I mean, I just went ahead and like reloaded my save over and over again until I saw all four endings. And I didn't like that design because I wanted to see the ending because I knew I wasn't going to go back and play it at all. Or if I did, it would be a long time. But I don't like that choice because it automatically killed the replay value for me.
Really?
They gave me no reason to ever go back and play it again.
And I didn't, like, when I got to the end, I only had the two options because I didn't do two of the things. So I was like, you know what? I honestly want to beat the game and then get the review out. Then I'll go back. And then I realized what those other two options were, or at least one of them. And I figured what the other one was.
And it's something that we're seeing a lot, and it's bothering the shit out of me, is that, you know, a game has four endings. Four endings. And albeit they can be kind of similar, but they're all interesting in their own respect, because you get a good sense of like kind of who Adam Jensen is within every ending, and it's kind of cool. But the problem is that if you're gonna have that many endings and such a deep game, dude, where's that New Game Plus, man?
Well, that's one thing that really that kind of ticked me out. There's no
this game
because that would
it's ripe for it, right? Isn't it
oh,
ripe
for, sure.
for a New Game Plus? It's,
if well, you can go I'd, through the entire game with everything max, that'd be awesome.
The other thing that brings it on is that the like the even the trophy or achievement list it promotes multiple playthroughs, so it would make sense that you know hey you know get through the game without killing anybody. Okay, now this is your second playthrough or something like that, and it makes sense that it would have that, but it doesn't. And it's almost like I want to email Square and be like, or Eidos and say,
Eidos,
patch that shit in. You know, seriously,
and they, I mean,
patch
Fallout
in a new
it.
Game. Fox.
They might. Fallout did it, right?
Did they?
Yeah, Fallout 3. They didn't have Game Plus originally, then they patched
it. Yeah, the
in,
game
so
ended.
Go back in it,
Well, okay. Yeah, that's kind of true. All right. That makes sense. The thing about it is it just kind of ended. The DLC didn't really add a new game plus. It just made it so it ended differently and you could continue playing after it ended.
Oh yeah, I guess yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's but, not
yeah,
it's okay. not really a new game
I know,
plus,
I know,
but
I
yeah.
Well, my big problem with the ending, I do want to do a spoiler show on Deus Ex because there actually is something that happens at the very very end of the credits that still had me scratching my head like what was that all about? But what bugs me about it is you do make some decisions throughout the game, but they really don't have any kind of effect on the ending at all except for what you do at the very end of the game.
Yeah.
And at the very end of the game, you're given those four choices based on basically stuff you complete towards the end, and if you don't, you just don't have the decision. So even if you might be thinking a certain way, like you would in most like RPGs, like in like a Mass Effect or a Fallout, you can't choose that as an ending or a substitute for what the options you're giving. I know it sounds very vague and like what the fuck are you talking about, but if you play to the end, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's basically you open up endings like not based on your choices or what like morality you want the character to go for. It just goes for certain things that you do at the end, which I thought was. I think it was kind of a cop-out, and I think it literally has to do with how long they, like, I guess, deadlines and something like that.
Yeah.
But
I know exactly what you're talking about, and yeah, it's true. When you go all the way through the game, what you're saying makes total sense, and it suffers from that normal Deus Ex problem, is that the game is too convoluted for its own good. Because going through the end of the game, I'm like, I still don't know who the majority of these people are
people
and what their and on top of that, what their true motivation is. Like, and like, you know, villain motivation is, you know, sometimes even like seen as a cop out in some instances because it's always that stereotypical thing where, you know, the boss has the hero down and the boss tells them their whole plan and then the good guy gets out and kills the boss and that's it. That's how, you know, but and they don't do that to that respect. They don't ever do that. They allow you to, by, you know, doing the hack and reading the story, piece it together yourself, and I get that, and I appreciate that. But they do. I don't think they give any help to the to the player to really kind of like say, okay, now this is going on. This is what's happening. Because I mean, even in one of the decisions you make, one of the four decisions you make, there's one character in there that doesn't really get truly introduced to you towards like until like the last 1/10 of the game, and. It's like, why would I ever choose this decision? I have no idea really what this person's about. I just found out about him, and he's got all this deep backstory, and I don't really kind of get what's going on.
I like the way they did that part when you talk to him, only because although it is very kind of cliche, and a lot of movies and stuff have done that same thing, or the reason why he's doing what he's doing. But like you said, you really don't get to choose this character till like close to the end. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, it's weird.
There's one thing that I wanted to go into really, really fast about Deus Ex, and then I think we need to move on because you guys are about to turn us into the Gears of War show. And so I want to make sure that we have enough time to talk about Gears of War.
Gears of War.
So this is one of the moments when I looked back and I said, it was one of those moments where I was like, I know what Jeff was talking about now. Cause it's like, it was one of those things where, you know, you were talking about how you love how, you know, whenever, you know, there's an inventory item or something or like credits on, it's always on the person. It's like the inventory stuff that they have is always on the person. So I'm about to spoil a side quest. That's really not that important. So, cause I just want to talk about this cause I thought it was funny as hell. So there's this, when you get to China, there's this bar. And this is the same bar that Jeff was, the same one you did, I think. And, basically Jeff was talking about how he knocked out a bartender. Well, the whole gist of this is that, you know, he wants you to go and this chick owes him money and he wants you to go to her and get the money back. So you go to this chick and the chick's like, oh, well, this is what they're doing. It's not right. And then you go back to him and you try and convince him to leave her the fuck alone. And he says, sure, give me this much money. And, so you pay the guy and he gives you like a praxis point and you get like all this bonus. And then you sneak behind the bar, knock the fucker out, take your money back and leave. I was like, hell yeah, that is awesome. I love it. I want shit like this all the time. I mean, that's the way it should work, I think.
The guy just took my money. Thing.
Yeah, a guy took my money. I want it back. You know, just do it that way.
Yeah, I did the same thing and just said I gave him the part back he wanted. So he said, "Well, you know what? I wanted the money, not the part. So I'm not giving any reward, but we'll leave her like alone, kind of thing." But then I was like, "Well, fuck that!" So then I knocked him out and took the praxis point. I saw the praxis point on him.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really? Yeah. So I actually paid the dude the $5,000 to leave her alone.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, here, take this. You can, you know, use it now more than she can now or something like that. And after I got the praxis point, I snuck up behind him, knocked him out, and then I went and hid in the bathroom until everything settled down. I went about my business. So
good shit. Yeah. Other than like those little things, I think the gameplay on this, they nailed it. I think for the most part, like besides having a regular melee attack and a couple little complaints, I thought it was a good breath of fresh air, so to speak, with those type of games. And I can't wait for a sequel. I hope they do one.
Yeah. I hope they do too.
It sold pretty well. It sold pretty well.
So yeah, you can check out the review.
Good on Eidos, man. They did a good job.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. First effort too, man. That's good shit. Renegade Ops, I played a little bit of that.
Oh, how was that? I keep hearing good things about it.
A lot of fun. It's really cool. It's a top-down kind of like isometric kind of twin stick shooter, but it's got like physics, like kind of like, I don't know, I'm trying to explain the fit. Well, it's got a real physics system kind of thing to it, but it's really over the top, kind of G.I. Joe-esque kind of with the characters and the dialogue and stuff like that. And it's done really well for an Xbox Live Arcade game. Like, it looks really, really good.
I'm not going to lie, you're speaking my language, man. Like, physics and dialogue. I'm all about this gem.
Well, you're basically part of a team, like whatever, like I said, like a G.I. Joe type thing. And I don't know how many characters there are because I think the demo gave you a choice of, maybe it wasn't even a choice. I think you just had to be the one person, or it might have been two. I can't remember. But you're just going around doing missions. It's kind of like open world-esque where you can like kind of accept missions from random people on the map and go like rescue people, blow up like supply bases or do whatever. But it's just, I don't know, for some reason it just felt right. You know, like, have you ever played, there was a really old Xbox Live game way back in the day called, oh my god, I have the first one. Oh, well, fuck, I can't think of the name. It was a top-down shooter type thing too, where you're in vehicles and you can like walk around, go into buildings. It's really gonna bug me now.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you know, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, it's not like I'm being an asshole right here, but it kind of sounds like you're describing every single video game that has come out.
Sound like it, but you have to download the trial. It's just got a lot of character to it, and it's just a lot of fun.
No, my point was just like, okay, we're gonna have a game here. we're a developer. We're making this game. You know, we're gonna put some missions in it.
Some characters.
We'll have a script.
We'll have some dialogue.
We'll put commandos in there. And of course, if there's commandos, we're gonna have explosions. And there's gonna be a physics engine.
I'm sorry. Did we just switch over to Gears of War?
Not yet.
It's basically the same game. So
I'm just making sure. I kind of got lost there.
Well, download the trial. It's actually really good. Yeah. It's getting like really good reviews, and I probably would have bought it if I didn't have so much other crap to play that's coming up soon. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you know, all the reviews are, you know, eights and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I can't explain why it's good. It's just a lot of fun. I don't know, just the way they do explore. It's just like action packed and just like it's just a lot of fun. And you might want to check it out.
Cool.
Me and Glenn actually Kill Nine.
Hi, Glenn.
As well as EDP, we did an impromptu Gamepocalypse last Saturday. Started with Street Fighter, of course. That's usually how we start, and then we moved to Halo Reach, and then Killzone 3. And then I think we might have played something else, but I can't remember. That was a lot of fun. First time playing Killzone 3 online retail. Fuck that game. If you jump into that game, you don't know what you're doing, man. Oh, it's not pretty.
You're playing the wrong.
That's like any first person shooter, though.
Not really.
No, you're just playing the wrong first-person PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, it should be Resistance.
Yes.
Well, no, because it's kind of class-based, Chris. It's like everyone's got, like, you open up certain perks and stuff like that that helps out your team. So it's not like, I mean, most first-person shooters, like, here's your guns, go shoot people when you're doing, like, deathmatch, and this isn't really like that. Which, I mean, the second one wasn't really like that either, but, yeah, it was kind of fun, but we played that for a bit. And we're like, all right, now we're going to play some Reach, and that was, well, still Reach, but it was good times. Crysis 2 game's awesome. There's no point to talk about the NBA 2K 2 alt demo, but then I'll let Travis go. We won't jump into Gears 3 yet because Travis, you know, you should probably go first, Chris, actually, to be honest, or go second.
I don't care. So we talked about Deus Ex already. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about Industream a little bit. We played a few games on there. We played Ratchet and Clank All for One. The beta went out.
How was that?
PlayStation Network horrible online strikes again. Just could not get it to work. We tried hosting a game, which it's not surprising that didn't work because we were streaming. But then we tried joining games, and it just couldn't hold up. It could not hold up. So it's weird because we can easily play a 360 game online and stream both of the consoles. Works fine. This past 2 weeks, we tried to do it with PlayStation. Hasn't worked. Not even close. We tried Dead Island last week and it was horrible. Yeah. We tried Ratchet and Clank this week. It just didn't work. So we play, I just got in a room by myself for like 5 minutes just to like get the hang of the gameplay. And, you know, if you're by yourself, you get a little clank that pops on your back and you can shoot them out of a little gun and use that as like a grappling hook. 'Cause you can grapple to your partners. So you can make long gaps so you can jump long gaps and shit. You know, if you don't have another player with you, Clank just pops in your backpack and you just use him. So it looks like it's going to be a really good game. It's just I'm not confident in PSN's ability to play online anymore.
It's a good thing we don't pay for it, right?
Oh shit.
Wait a minute. My PS Plus just auto renewed. Shit.
Played some Burnout Crash. That's a fun little game.
Yeah, talk about that game, actually.
So here's what Burnout Crash is. I mean, you hear about it and you automatically think, oh, it's Burnout Crash mode. And it kind of is, but it's overhead view. And you basically drive into an intersection and you hit the first car and then cars keep coming into the intersection and trying to dodge the accident. And you use the, in Crash mode when you had the explosion to, you know, it was like the aftershock thing that they did.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get to, you keep charging that meter and you can keep exploding and causing more and more, you know, damage.
Yeah.
Basically you can also charge up these, like, it's almost like they're special abilities. Like the first one, like a bulldozer might pull through and cause more damage. And then you may get like, your car may get magnetized and all the cars will like draw to you and then you can explode and like shoot them all over the screen and that kind of thing. And then the last one is always like this tornado and it pretty much rips up everything and you just take off and you're done.
Okay.
So it's a very much a score chase game and, you know, we downloaded the trial, booted it up, and the only score that we saw on our friends list was Jack Bauer. And I'm going to call his ass out on this because, you know, love you, Jack. And he had gotten like 24 million or something like that. And I was like, all right, 24 million, it's not bad. So I played it first and first time I played it, I got like 33 million. And he goes, God damn it, you beat my score because he's watching. And then I hand the controller to Jason and he plays it and he gets like 45 million. So in two shots, we beat a score. Today we get a tweet from him says, it took me a while, but I finally did it. And he posts a screenshot of him
it's
getting
1 point more.
No, well, the funny part is that we only did one attempt each. So I did one and Jason did one. And Jack posts a picture of him beating our scores with 26 attempts. So just kind of cool, kind of entertaining. I actually just bought the game and downloaded it. It's pretty fun. It seems like it's a... seems like it'll be a good time waster, so I'm looking forward to that.
It seems like that game like lives and dies by its physics, though. How are the physics, and is it cool?
It's Does it have not, dialogue? It's not realistic at all.
Oh, really?
So it's perfect, yes.
Okay, cool.
I'm trying to think what else we played. We played one other thing.
Oh, can I have a quick sidebar?
What's that?
We played a bunch of these, but there's only one I have to mention. When after the meetup, Retroids meetup, we came back here. It was a Better Tomorrow Aces myself. We played a bunch of, like, we just downloaded random indie games, and we did play a bunch, and we had some good laughs, but one you have to download is called Bird Assassin.
What?
And Bird the Assassin? Game is, the Bird Assassin.
Was it fucking Duck Hunt or something?
No, but the game is pretty bad, but you have to download it just for the introduction, because it's hilarious.
Is this like another Try Not to Fart type experience?
It's actually made by the same people.
Oh, for real? Get out of here.
Oh, I'm pretty positive. Oh, no, sorry. That was a different game. A different game called No Luca No was made by the same people that made Try Not to Fart. And all it is it's a picture of cereal in like a guy's hand, and then a cat slowly starts to make its way in on the right-hand side, and you have to shoo it away by hitting the right stick, and you're like, it's like, No Luca. And then it keeps trying to come back, like, No Luca, no. And back and forth, that's all the game is.
What,
and then
if those guys had a budget, they would make the greatest games ever. I swear to Christ.
So those two, No Luca, no, and download Bird Assassin. Because Bird Assassin is hilarious. And No Luca, no is very, very dumb. But again, it's funny in the kind of whole try to fart funny.
Dude, we got to get those guys on the show. We've got to get them on the fucking show.
Because the try to fart guys have actually made like four or five games. And they're all dumb. So we should totally get them on the show. Your games are dumb.
And that's exactly what we were going for.
Oh, sweet. We all laughed. Not going to lie to you.
Shit. I can't remember what else we played on Indie Stream, so I'm just going to finish off by saying I can't stop playing Valkyria Chronicles 2 again.
Really? You're back
into that game? Yeah, I am 100% back into that game. I was on month 9, September, when I stopped. I hadn't even started month 9. I hadn't gotten done any of the missions. There were 5 missions before getting to the story mission, and I completed all 5 missions. So now it's time to go do the story mission and go to October. So, getting back into that game, hoping to beat it eventually. Maybe before, hopefully before Extra Life. If not, maybe I'll beat it at Extra Life. Who knows? But, yeah, that's it for me. So,
cool. Travis.
Frodo, take it away.
Gears of War 3! Oh, so awesome! Oh, you got chainsaws, and you got giblets, and you got locust, and lambits.
Dialogue, and it's physics, storyline.
And it's awesome.
It's got some graphics.
And they're like G.I. Joes, but they're not, because they're bigger and very unrealistic looking. But it's awesome. No, it's... okay, quick disclaimer. If you do not like Gears of War at all, do not expect a rehash or a change in a series. This is Gears of War. Like, I'm actually kind of happy that I didn't do, like, my Gears 1 and 2.
I don't know about that.
No, I'm happy. The whole time I'm playing, I'm like, dude, if I did my Gears 1 or Gears 2 playthrough like I originally planned to this month before Gears came out, I would have been super bored because it is the same game. At its core, it's the same game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I would say, okay, remember how I was, like, kind of I wasn't turned off of the Gears series, but, like, even though I think 2 is a better game than 1 was, like, to me, that like defined this generation of gaming. Like that was the first game that was like, boom! Now here it's here. Like finally, this is like something you've never seen before.
Right.
It's all like visuals wise anyway. It's awesome. Then 2 was kind of more the same. 3 also was kind of more the same. But I was kind of like, I was not hyped for 3 at all. Just read some of the reviews. It wasn't until I heard another couple podcasts really talk about it and say how it's actually really, really good.
Yeah.
So I picked it up, and I would say that there's one little thing that they changed that, to me, makes a world of difference. That is, they sped the game up. Like, the enemies aren't bullet sponges. Like, they still are bullet sponges, but they drop so much quicker now.
Yeah.
It just keeps the flow of combat going so much better.
Yeah.
And that alone, I think, will get... Like, it turned me... I've done a total 180. I've gone from, like, Gears 2 is kind of meh, the series kind of whatever, to this game, from what I've played so far, is... fucking awesome.
Yeah. Like, no, it really is cool. And I do get what you're saying about the speed, because the game, I mean, everything about it is quicker. Like, the cutscenes are quicker. I mean, because there's not a cutscene that's... I mean, they at least average around, what, 20 to 30 seconds at the most they average. Yeah. So it helps the pacing of the game because you're always going right back into the action. They don't spend too much time with you walking really, really slow, holding your finger up to your ear, talking to Anya on the fucking thing. You know, you're constantly walking. And they actually give you the option to run while you're doing the walking sequence so you can jog a little faster and get where you're going quicker. You know, and the roadie runs a lot faster. It seems like the roadie runs even quicker too. Like they just speed the game up a lot more. Yeah. And that was really weird. Really welcome, but a disclaimer aside, that it does feel like the same old stuff, you know, same old Gears. To me, that's not a terrible thing because just Gears is good. Like it defined this generation. You know, now look at how many stop and pop shooters there are. You know, look how many, you know, over the shoulder type, you know, third person shooters there are. They did define this generation easily, especially graphically too. But like, I mean, Epic knew what works and they stuck with it, and I really like that. For me, I don't know about you, Jeff. Like I love the addition of the new enemies, the Lambit. I think that does. If there is a main change in the game, I think the change in from the Lambit from the locust is a big welcome change. And it was cool that they still left the locust in there because you still get to go back and because like I remember go ahead.
I like fighting the locust overall better just because you have more options to kill them. Because I'm not sure what's a restriction on the engine or the technology, like the 360 itself, but the Lambin guys, basically, Chris, like you shoot them, and you know, in the locusts, you can shoot them down and go execute them, chop them out with a chainsaw. With the Lambits, basically explode once they've taken all the damage, but there's a lot more of them on screen than there would be the locusts. So I'm not sure if that has something to do with it, but what I like about it is you're introduced to these new characters very early in the game. By very early, I mean the very first act. You don't even see a locust till later.
Yeah.
And most games don't do that. If they're going to introduce a new kind of like enemy, they're like, okay, here's the ones you're used to. You're going to fight against these guys again for a couple acts, and then here's the new ones you're going to go through. And they do the exact opposite.
Yeah, the flood says hi, by the way.
Those little things, they actually are a lot like, but they're a lot more fun to fight than the flood, in my opinion.
Oh, a lot more, yeah.
I hate fighting the flood in Halo.
Yeah. And to their credit, and also credit to Epic for, I mean, just how the way it looks. I mean, the way the some of the Lambit, especially the bigger Lambit, when they explode, some of the best explosions in a game ever.
And the lighting off the explosions. Oh, they reflect off everything. And the game overall, I think it's probably the best looking console game I've ever seen.
You know what? 100% agree.
It is gorgeous. And I didn't think they could do it. I was like, because watching video online, I was like, okay, it looks like Gears 2 with better lighting. But no, the textures quality is way better. It looks smoother overall. It runs a lot. I have not gotten to any slowdown or frame rate drops at all. And there's some big ass battles in that game.
Yeah,
like, I'm only on. Like almost done Act Two, so I'm not even like halfway through yet.
Yeah. There's some big stuff coming up, and they do some really good stuff with weather effects and clouds, like fast moving clouds and everything. They do some really cool stuff with that. I found myself just staring into the sky, just looking like thinking to myself, how did they do that? That is amazing looking. Yeah. So I mean, it almost looks like particle effects. It's so good, but you know, it's something different. Gorgeous. It's really nice.
Yeah, like there was one scene in the beginning, the very first act, is you're on the barge, the boat. And then you go downstairs and you get attacked by the Lambits. You come back upstairs and the top of the barge is on fire. And there's kind of like a communications tower on the barge and with glass windows all the way around it. And you just, in real time, you see the reflection of the flames and the smoke going up there. And it's like, I'm just like, wow, that's impressive shit right there.
Yeah.
That's.
And another thing, to like, because I never felt that writing was the strong suit of the Gears series, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. But you're going against the grain on that one.
I know, right? Exactly. I mean, guys, if you like the story, I'm sorry, everybody else is wrong. I'm right in this instance. The story, I mean, the writing's not that good, guys. It did improve in Gears of War 3, I do think. The quips and the jokes are a lot better. I still think Cole is a little too stereotypical, and I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, as exciting as he gets, or as excited as he gets, he's very bland. I think he's one of the worst characters in the story, I guess you can say. He's not that interesting. Like, he's just all, whoa, let's go! And it's like, there's no depth. Like, they give Baird some of the best lines. They gave even Jace, who's like someone you never see before, really good lines, you know?
Even the females, Sam and Anya have really good parts.
Really, really good parts. And really good parts. Wink.
Yeah,
but I do want to spoil probably one of the really funny lines, just to give an example, because they made this game legitimately funny at some times.
I hope it's the one that when you were playing with us the other night.
Yeah. Okay, Baird. Everybody knows Baird and this girl Samantha. There's definitely some sexual tension between them. So in the first Love You Play is them, they kind of hate their guts and everything. So they get put in a very life or death situation. They're basically hanging from this bridge that's falling. And she catches Baird from falling and everything, and you know she's holding on to one arm while holding on to Baird, and he's hanging down, and he's looking up at her, and he says, "You know, this is probably one of the moments where I should tell you that I love you, but I really don't. I really, really don't." Yeah, and I was just in tears. So the game is legitimately funny, and there's so many good moments like that that I just it just makes me smile and make me good. And then on the inverse, you know. And Jeff, we were talking about this a little bit off air, and you can touch on it too. You know, with the whole Dom and Maria bit from the last game, you know, they decided in Gears 2 to really try to make something emotional, like make you have a strong emotional reaction. And I noticed some people, they did feel that way with the Dom and Maria stuff, especially towards the end of the game. But to me, it kind of felt forced and it missed the mark. Mm-hmm. Like something was missing there. It was good, but it was like by the time I kept on playing, I kind of didn't give a shit. That's just me. I just didn't feel like I cared. Towards the end of Act 3, they go for the same thing again, and I think this time they hit the nail on the head. Like, just the way the entire scene – it's literally the longest cutscene in the game. Jeff, you haven't been there yet, so we'll talk on it later.
I was going to say, don't even say what act it's in because then I'm going to be looking for it, but you already did.
It's fine. I mean, it's in reviews everywhere that, you know, Act 3 is easily the best act. So, I mean, check it out. It's really fun, and it's poignant. It's definitely poignant. So,
cool.
But anything else about Gears, man? Because I didn't play much multiplayer.
There's a lot, dude. Like, I mean, like besides that, the campaign being it's definitely a step up. Co-op's way to go. It's four-player co-op now. So,
it's awesome.
The first night, it was Travis and I, as well as who is Craig from Retro, as well as Sassbob. We were playing through most of it, and Lot of fucking fun, man. That game, co-op. Like, I try. Oh, one complaint. If you're playing co-op with anybody and you're not the host, it doesn't save your progress. Which I should have probably expected because none of the other games did that either. It's like whoever's the host basically saves the progress. So now I have to start my own game, single player, and invite people in to play co-op. And I basically have to kind of play the game through twice at the same time.
Right.
So I'd have that opportunity. So if I want to go back later and play chapters I really liked, I can do that. And there is an arcade mode where it saved that. There's an arcade mode where you can go and visit any kind of chapter you want to or act, where it's kind of like the Halo metagame where you have a point system. You can play a co-op. You get, like, points and for, like, reviving people, for shooting people in the face, doing all that kind of stuff. You can do that. It saves that progress. But the problem with that is it's not – you still get all the cutscenes and everything, but there's different things that are added in. Like, you can get, like, torque bows really early in the game. They kind of leave you kind of cooler weapons throughout, just kind of like – get a good score up there, which we tried to do that the other night. I was like, yeah, no, I'd rather just play where I left off before. So we'll just play something else. We start playing Horde mode, and Horde 2.0, it's called this one. And this is a lot better than the first Horde mode in 2.
Like, how so? I saw some like tower defense elements too.
There's definitely tower defense elements because now you can fortify certain areas, like put up, like it starts out putting on spike strips, and then you can upgrade that to barbed wire, and then you can upgrade that to laser beams, like tripwire type stuff. That injures like the people that are trying to get through, and you can put up like decoys, set up turrets,
right,
and stuff like that. So it kind of helps you out.
What lets you know that you can upgrade? Like, what allows you to upgrade?
You have everything is highlighted. Like nothing, everything's highlighted on the battlefield. So when you go in, you pick an arena, and there'll be say 5 base points. And so first of all, you go into the arena with it's 5-player co-op, the Horde mode. So you pick a base point to start. So you activate it, and that'll automatically, in that general area, highlight things you can upgrade, and it'll put like this, there'll be like a green silhouette of a turret. So you know that's where the turret is, so when you have enough money, you can put the turret there. Or you can see where the spike strips are. You do whatever. So when you say I put down spike strips, that gives you experience in that area. So if I put spike strips down enough, it upgrades to now I can put down razor wire. So when every time I do that, it's going to put razor wire instead of spike strips. And then from that, it goes from laser. The same thing with the turrets. Like, it goes from like regular turrets to, I'm guessing, you'll probably upgrade to like rocket turrets or something. Something like after that. Like, anyway, you're leveling up as you're using things. And then if you open up another base point, it'll highlight in that area what you can do. Like, so it's pretty, self-explanatory once you open up a base point. You can see what you can and can't do. So it's not like you don't really have to do too much thinking on the fly where it's like, okay, they're going to put a turret here because the turrets are all pre-placed. It's just whether or not you unlock them or not.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty straightforward and like it's not hard to follow. But it adds a lot to the game.
It still sounds really fleshed out, though, like super fleshed out.
Oh, it really is. Like, I mean, you should really, like, at the beginning of the game, like, the game overall, I found, even on campaigns, easier than 2. Like, hardcore is easier than hardcore in 2 and 1. Normal is a cakewalk. Like, normal, if you have any, if you played a third-person shooter before in your life, you should probably start on hardcore.
Yeah, I beat the game on normal yesterday, actually, and it actually is really a cakewalk. It's super simple,
I saw the video that Jason posted where the dude just went through, like, it just showed him going through, like, chapter 2 without firing a shot.
Yeah.
That was a little weird.
Yeah, exactly. They totally did that. And the thing is, I don't think that intentionally, or the fact that I said earlier how the enemies now go down a lot easier to kind of speed the game up, so you don't have to put in, like, 2 clips of a Lancer just to drop them down on their knees and then go finish them. It's like now it's... You know, you keep the beat on them for a bit, they're going to drop, like, not even half a clip. So I think that has something to do with it. Anyway, but yeah, it's, fuck, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so the game kind of ramps up kind of slowly in horror, but once you get to, like, say, wave 15 or so, we really started to see that we really had to use teamwork. So it'd be like, okay, this person is in charge of upgrading the fortifications, like spike strips, razor wire. This person's in charge of making sure the turrets are maintained, because you get money from the kills you get, and it'll give you certain objectives, like it'll be like, oh, wave 7, get 7 headshots with the sniper rifle, and that's combined for the team. So whoever has a sniper rifle gets a headshot, it counts down to 6, 5, and if you get that, you get more money. So you really end up start working as a team and getting giving people certain jobs, classes, so to speak, whatever, to do while they're doing it. And it just gets ridiculous, because now there's boss fights in it, so like every 10 waves, or every 9 waves, there's a boss wave, and we got to wave 28, I think, after about 2.5 hours or 2 hours, and they literally threw, like, 5 berserkers at us.
Oh, shit.
And a bunch of cronies, so they have a bunch of regular drones and stuff like that as well, and they just massacred us. We tried it about 5 or 6 times. We're like, oh my god, we really got to rethink things. And it was, at this point, it was like 12:30 at night, so we're like, okay, we should probably go to bed.
There's no rethinking past 12 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, nah, that, we'll try again later. But it was a lot of fun. Like, the first horde mode, I might have got to like wave 7, was like, okay, this is kind of boring, because it's always like, pick up weapons, pick up ammo. Here comes the next wave. All the waves are the same. In this, they're randomized.
Oh, really?
So you're gonna get the same type, the same classes of characters, but they're not necessarily gonna be exactly the same as the first one you played through it or whatever. So, or that if you reload if you fail and reload, go start from the checkpoint or start beginning a wave, it won't necessarily be exactly the same.
So did you play any beast mode yet? Because I heard that is
no.
Dope.
That's what I want to do next. I want to try beast mode. After trying that, I'll go into regular multiplayer mode. But dude, this game has got a lot of stuff in it, man.
There's a lot of gameplay in there, dude. Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to give kudos to Epic, because yeah, sure, they came with that whole season pass thing, which you don't have to buy, and you're saving like 33% on DLC.
It's 33%. Yeah.
I mean, they could have easily left out beast mode, and maybe even like, well, they wouldn't have left out horde mode, because it wasn't 2, but they could have left out beast mode and had that as DLC for like $10, like later.
Well, they learned their lesson from last time, where they said, okay, when you buy the game new, you get this DLC, but if you buy it used, you have to pay for it and everything. And people were like, they learned their lesson. They learned it wasn't the best option, and the season pass is all the rage right now. So, but I easily they have the best version of a season pass.
Because
you save a whole lot of money, and then like out of the gate, just when
you're not
get
getting
a whole bunch
anything.
Of DLC.
I don't think you're getting anything that's people who buy the DLC on day one wouldn't get anyway. So it's like, it's not like the type of shit where it's like Call of Duty, where if you sign up for the Elite thing, you get the maps like a week or two or like a month. Like it's like way earlier than anyone else can possibly get them.
Yeah.
So still keeping the battlefield like level for people who want to buy the DLC. It just means that if you pre-purchase them, you're getting a discount.
Yeah, exactly.
From what I gather. So.
Also, they have, I mean, there's a lot of gameplay there, and there's a whole bunch of things to do just with Gears of War 3, but, I mean, when you were actually, like, have you dug into, like, all the medals and achievements and things you can unlock and everything? Because, I mean, I've never seen a video game go this in-depth before. There's an actual character skin for multiplayer that the only way you can get it is by playing and beating the campaign from Gears of War 1, 2, and 3.
Oh,
I mean,
that's right. They combine all the games.
Yeah, it combines all the games, and you have to beat all three games just to get a certain multiplayer skin. It's awesome. I love it. I think it's a fantastic way to get people to play your older games. You know, if someone wasn't interested, well, I kind of want all the character skins, so let me go ahead and beat these games. And you know, it's a cool way to really get people into the full experience of your title. I love it. Yeah. It's great.
Cool. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, well, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little more next week, but overall, I'm very, very impressed. And I don't know if that's because my hype meter was so low going into it that I was just blown out of the water with how good it turned out.
Right.
Or what, but I am, I mean, dude, for like full price title, you're getting a lot for it, and it's very much improved. And I wonder how much this is akin to the fact that this game was supposed to come out in April, I think.
Yes.
Year. And then they were like, you know what? We're going to save it for the holiday season. So.
Good for them, though, because they gave them a lot of time to slap an extra coat of polish on it.
Worked. Chris, I think you should try it. You throw it on normal, play some co-op. There's a lot of good laughs to have. Yeah,
I need to play two first. That's my goal.
Honestly, don't even bother.
I bought the game, dude. I'm going to play it.
Oh, you bought the game? Okay, then play. I got it
for like $15 on clearance, and it's still wrapped on my shelf.
If you want to play through it on co-op, let me know, because I wouldn't mind playing through two again as well. Just
I'll play through. I wouldn't mind playing through.
I was thinking about doing that for Extra Life.
But you know what you should do? Beat that for Extra Life, and then we'll find a way to get Jason to like maybe pick it up on the Red Box or something. But that's four-play co-op right there, guys. I don't know about you, but I smell an Indus Night.
That sounds good, man.
For three?
Yeah.
Sounds good. It's good. Oh, I'm very pleasantly surprised. A game that I wasn't even probably going to get day one to this. I'm not going to judge yet, but it's one of the... impressed me very highly in the first
very
couple
cool.
days I played it. Yeah.
Travis, anything else?
That's it for me, man. Just Gears.
All right. Let's do some news then.
All right. Gears of War 3 was released on Tuesday.
Yes, it was.
And it's awesome.
Should we get this this Netflix business out of the way?
Let's do it. Why not? Let's just put it aside.
I got an email from the CEO of Netflix, and he said,
"Oh my god."
He said, "Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. We made a mistake."
Oh no.
And then he didn't fucking fix anything.
he okay. made things a slightly bit weirder.
He
let's
did.
Just say that.
So here's the deal. It's like so at one point Netflix was like one of the most reputable companies out there.
Yeah.
Like as far as like customer satisfaction goes. And when they released when they separated streaming and disc and they raised the prices, that went into the ground. So now they sent out like this apology letter that actually like it, who knows if it actually came from the CEO is his admin assistant probably did it or something like that.
declared by the CEO.
Exactly. And he said
bitch,
that,
write me an email, send it out to everyone, say it's from me.
But he basically says, we made a mistake, I'm sorry.
But then he doesn't
fix anything. All he said was that the DVD service is going to be called Quickster and is going to carry games now.
What?
And Netflix is going to handle just the streaming. So if you want to get both, it's still $16 rather than the $10 that I was paying up until the 29th of this month. So, yeah, that's a little weird. If you really think you made a mistake, then fix the mistake.
I don't think they were saying the mistake was that the fact that the price is going up. The mistake was it isn't just Netflix splitting up in these two different tiers. It's that the fact is they're going to rename it. And it's probably going to be totally. Maybe even owned by someone else or something like that. There's totally different things. That's probably what he's saying.
The point of the email was that the public, the way Netflix's appearance to the public is now diminished quite a bit.
Hardcore people that follow it. I don't think people who like Joe Schmo who subscribes to Netflix is going to care.
You don't think that someone's going to notice a 60% increase on their bill?
Oh, they will, but they're not going to bitch about it. Like, how long has Netflix been around?
But they are. That's the thing. It's like there are this was sent out because of how many cancellations they had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And isn't it a separate subscription too? Isn't like it's gonna end, because he mentioned that it's gonna be a whole another subscription that's gonna be added.
That'd
so
be
like, when you see your next bill payment, it's gonna say
yeah,
Quickster,
it's gonna
not
say,
Netflix. Don't freak
right.
out.
Mm-hmm. It'll say Netflix and Quickster. And I basically canceled the DVD service last week.
Dog, we canceled that before they even did the Quickster thing. Like we were done with it.
Yeah,
we still have streaming, but
yeah, I still have the streaming too. The streaming is a good service. I like it, but you know, I just can't. You know, this is my thing. It's like kind of what I said before. It's like I understand needing to raise the price of things. You know, I understand that expenses go up. I understand you have licensing fees to deal with, but 60% is a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it is a lot.
You needed a more incremental raise. I would have been happy with 20 or even 40%, but 60% is a lot.
Yeah.
You could look at it as like this, is they notice that not too many people were using one service versus the other and decided to split it up that way because maybe people were just throwing away money for no reason. If you just want the stream, how much is streaming by itself? $10?
$8.
$8, so $10 mm-hmm. less than what you were paying before?
I was paying $10 for both.
Okay, so you can look at it that way too, because they're like, people aren't taking advantage of the, like, you hear this all the time with Netflix. I don't know if you guys listen to Giant Bomb at all. Like, they have Gamefly accounts, and they always take out games, but they have them sitting on their TV for, like, months and months and months, and they
that happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they might realize, like, hey, you know what? A lot of people are using the streaming. Not too many people are actually using this DVD thing, but they're paying for it. So now let's give them the option. Well, you know what? We'll discount the streaming by $2 if they still want the DVD.
They didn't discount the streaming. I paid $10 for full for 100 for streaming as much as I want, and one disc at a time.
One disc, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was $10 for both. Now it's $8 for each.
I know. But what I'm saying is, for somebody who say didn't use that, who was paying the $10, who didn't use the feature of getting the physical DVD. Like, say they just didn't bother with it, or they were one of those people who would take out one DVD and let it sit there for months and months and not send it back, that gives them the option to only pay $8 and not have that. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, to me, it gives them the incentive to do it. If they're not using the DVD service, but they're paying for it regardless and they have DVDs, the change gives them the incentive to just completely cancel that. Because that's what it did for us. Because we did the DVD thing.
But you kept
the
streaming, though.
Well, we kept the streaming. Only on the hope that there's going to be with this price raise comes a substantial addition to better programming on streaming,
which I really need
to see. Or we've already talked about possibly canceling on Netflix unless we see a serious upgrade in the next coming months, which is the CEO.
They've said that.
He did say in his letter that there is going to be a substantial increase within the next couple of months. If I see it,
that'd be nice.
I'll say nothing wrong against Netflix.
Well.
It makes sense to get rid of the DVD service. I'm not going to pay an extra $6 for it. It doesn't make any sense to do that. Mm-hmm. So like Travis said, it's like the streaming service is good, but it seems like whenever I want to go and catch up on a series that I'm behind on, they don't have that fucking series. So it's like Fringe. They don't have Fringe on instant streaming. They don't have Sanctuary on instant streaming. Both of those shows are starting up again, and I'd really like to catch up on the season that I missed last season.
For sure.
So, and they don't have it. So I'm really hoping that they're going to, you know, ramp up the shit that they're doing. Cause right now it's like, you know,
I don't think that's fully in their hands either, though.
But that's the thing. Sanctuary and Fringe both were on there, and now they're not.
Yeah,
but it could.
They also canceled
that's
their
licensing light laws. That has nothing to do with Netflix, or like it depends on.
I understand
how long
that,
they own
but
the license
if,
for or whatever. It's not,
I understand that, but if they're raising prices so that they can handle the licensing, why are you taking shows off?
I wouldn't think it's just licensing though. I think it's also the amount of subscribers they have. Like, I'm sure that's increased quite a bit since they first started.
No, they've taken off a lot more stuff than just a couple of TV shows, Jeff. They've taken off.
I'm not saying they haven't. You're not getting my point.
This let me bitch. They
ahead.
Took off the Stars. I'm fired up, motherfucker. They took
same
off,
joke doesn't work twice in a row. Especially
I know.
When it sounds forced.
They took the Stars package off. That's the thing. Like, the best set of movies were the Stars movies, and
sure.
Not only could you not watch those in Party Chat, but now they just completely taken them off, and that also comes in the same month where they raised the price. Like,
yeah, but then
problem.
Again, that would I'm sure they didn't say, "Hey, let's piss off Travis and take off the Stars package." You want to raise the price? Probably,
you know what? I wouldn't hold
the license,
against them.
That's probably when the license ran out, and they're like, they had no other choice, and they have to renegotiate. Because I'm guaranteeing you, the other side of that license, like the producers, whatever, like whoever it is that you know produced those movies or owns the rights to it, they're probably negotiating now. They want to be like, "Hey, you want to have our stuff on your site? You got to pay more." So I can see where, like, I don't know. I think this is like the business major in me says, like, people don't seem to understand what happens behind the scenes. Like, it's not just, oh crap,
no,
they're raising
the
price,
thing,
oh
Jeff,
my god.
But we do understand. The problem is that the price hike was too much.
I know,
60% is a lot. I would have been happy paying $12 or even $14 for what I have right now.
That's why I want to ask, like, I don't, like I said, we just got Netflix last year. How long has Netflix been around in the States?
Uh, several years, maybe 3-4 years.
How many? 3 or 4 years, and how many times have they raised the price since it came out to that time when they hiked it up to $16?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't had it for that long.
It all depends on that too. It's like a bunch of stuff you have to consider. It's like the Xbox Live thing. Everyone bitched when Xbox Live, like, it didn't go up here because it was always the same price, but when it went up in the States by $10 for the first time in 6 years, no, it was more than that. It was like when it was came out, whenever it came out in, like, yeah, was it 6 years, 6 years, 7 years? Everyone complained about $10, like, yeah, but it didn't raise at all in that 6 years. And that's everything else in this world. If you look at a 6 year span, they probably went up just as much, if not more, than that percentage. But then again, Netflix, if it's only 3 years old or 4 years old, that's really not that much to justify 60%. I don't think, yeah. Anyway. And, it doesn't make sense. But
and it's gone up in the past too. It's like they were like originally it started out with you know, hey, we're, you know, if you want Blu-rays, you add a dollar. And I was like, all right, that's fine. And then they said, well, now with Blu-rays, you have to add $2. I'm like, all right, that's fine too. You know, no big deal. So it's like it's. You know, if it's a
that's
little
like
bit here and there,
yeah.
I mean, I can understand. But going from $10 for everything to $16 for everything is a lot. I mean, I think so. But that's
okay,
just
I gotcha.
Me. So we can move
okay.
on.
Okay. Either way, I don't like. Yeah, we're not getting any of this stuff because we have crappy stream. They don't update it enough, and we don't get the discs. So, and they haven't raised the prices yet. So.
Well, if they raise the price after less than a year, I'd be a little pissed too.
Yeah, in 1 year, if they raise it like 60%, then I'll be like, motherfuckers, bullshit!
Whoa. Now Jeff is fired up. Get out of town.
So anyway, that is kind of crappy. But
was that our first news article still?
That was. Yeah. Let's move on. Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
Hey, Battlefield 3.
What?
Yes. Hey, I know
Looks
that game.
Looks cool. Looks good. They're finally starting to show the console version. They finally released a Xbox 360 trailer. Still nothing on the PS3 version single player yet, but fret, because if you're getting it for the PS3, all the DLC that's coming out to Battlefield 3 is exclusive to the PS3 version for 1 week.
That's interesting. I've been seeing a lot of Battlefield love on the PS3 lately.
A lot of EA love. I wouldn't even say it's just Battlefield.
Well, yeah, EA. Yeah, there's a lot of EA love on the PS3. But it's interesting that, you know, of course, this is like, if Call of Duty is going to have any competition, of course, it's Battlefield 3.
Yes.
And of course, you know, there's
1.5
Call of Duty shows so much bias. Yes. towards the 360. It's interesting
to
see Battlefield.
Well, I don't think it's biased. I think Microsoft throws money.
They throw the money, but there's still bias there because they're throwing the money. I mean, there's still something there. But it's interesting to see, you know, Battlefield and EA showing the PlayStation the love. So it's like they're like kind of like drawing their lines and everything and going on, you know, each own side of the fence. It's just interesting to see that kind of format right there. It is kind of sad to see it only as, like, because I'd want to see this, like, then try to stick it to Call of Duty and the Xbox even more by, like, making it a bigger exclusivity. Because 1 week's not that big of a deal.
I think EA realizes that if they block out the 360 crowd for too long, then that's just going to fuck up their idea of trying to take down Call of Duty.
Right. Hey, can I say it? Can I say it? Who?
I knew you were going to, yeah.
Gives a shit? It's a week.
I
mean,
yeah, I was
going to
do the same thing, but, yeah, you said it too fast. But, yeah, week early. So, yeah. Which really doesn't mean anything, because if you're on PS3, you're not going to be playing it on 360 or PC, so it's not going to do anything to the whole balance of people playing. So
I'm getting it on 360.
If you're on PS3, you're not going to be playing it online anyway, because the online is a fucking work.
I'm going either a PC and 360 or just 360.
I'm going to go on a 360. It's the better port, so I mean, I'm going to go with that, yeah.
but yeah, that's it. Hey, Chris. Deus Ex, we talked about it earlier.
We did talk about Deus Ex.
One of the things I mentioned in the review was the boss battles. Not so fun.
Yeah,
not so
that fun. Was so kind of weird how it's like they you know, this game thrives on, hey, you can go around and kill everybody, or you can just not kill anybody. And then here's some bosses
or,
that you
or,
have to kill.
Or fun
it's like it's a whole other game. It's weird.
It's like maybe like totally somebody else develop that part of the game.
That would
maybe be
crazy if that were true.
That is 100% true.
What?
Oh, really?
Boss battles. Idles Montreal kind of farmed them out to a third party.
This is really weird.
That is weird.
That is very weird.
Does it start? I didn't actually read all the story. Does it say who they farmed it out to?
No.
It was Sony.
I'm not looking at the story.
They did.
Yeah, it's just very unusual situation altogether. It's like I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand the idea of putting them in, and then I don't understand the idea of getting someone else to do it for you. It's like it's you're already breaking the flow of the game by putting the bosses in there, and then by basically having another company do them. It's like how do you know it's gonna work into your vision of the game? You know, just unusual decision. Let's put it that way.
I hear you. Exactly. Especially when the rest of the game is so, so well done.
Right.
But yeah. Anyone else have any news before I get to my last one here?
I'm good, man. Go ahead.
Isn't there some Vita stuff we want to talk about?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Why don't you go first?
Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to talk. Okay.
It's
going
to
be it's region free. What up?
Yes. It is region free. That is exciting.
And, it is very exciting. I like that.
I don't know how many Japanese games you guys have for your PSP. But I have a handful. I probably have like...
Bust a Move. I think I bought four. That was a Japanese version like way back in the day. Yeah.
Okay. I have like a handful. I have like maybe five or so. It's just nice to have that option, you know? So, you know, good on them for doing that. They also said that apparently they learned their lesson with the PS3 and the firmware because, you know, I just updated my firmware today and it took like 20 minutes. It's like, really?
No, did it take that long?
Well, yeah. And the funny thing is that I'm on Plus, so it apparently already fucking downloaded the thing.
So what the hell is it doing?
Well, you have to accept the terms of service before it installs it.
Oh.
That's why it doesn't install it.
Well, litigation takes time, Chris.
I'll tell you. Yeah, no kidding. They had to put that extra word in there that says, you're not allowed to sue us. No, but it's just kind of weird. It's like, why can't you just install it and then make me agree to the terms of service again before logging into PSN? You know, I mean, that makes more sense to me. Instead, you know, it downloads it and lets it sit on the drive and then you have to install it and it takes 20 minutes to install. So I was like, I'm going to sit down and play some Burnout Crash before I jump on the podcast. No, I'm not. I'm going to update the firmware on my fucking PS3. But apparently the Vita is going to be much better about firmware updates than the PS3. They said that they're going to be slimming them down so that they don't apparently, you know, the PS3 updates everything, all of like the system software all at one time, and apparently they're not going to do that for the Vita. So that's
good.
Cool.
Good.
I have one more. And this is, I don't know how interesting this is to you guys, but I'm willing to give it more of a chance now. Mm-hmm. Because DC Universe Online is going free to play in October. Get it out of your system.
One of my predictions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. You did predict that, didn't you?
Tick, tick.
Oh, it's going to be a battle for who gets more this year, I think, isn't it?
It's only announced for PC right now, though,
isn't it? I don't think so. I think it's going to be PS3 as well. They're going to be able to download and play for free.
We should see. Cool. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
That'd be cool.
It says here, IGN is reporting that this October, both PS3 and PC gamers will be able to download the game for free. SOE hopes to make money in the in-game microtransactions, encouraging players to buy with a premium title.
Oh, yeah. So go out there and get your retail copies, because that is officially a okay, never mind. It's not worth the shit, actually.
No, I won't be over that anymore.
I'm waiting for, like, they're going to show up on, like, Amazon for, like, a dollar.
I'll buy it 10 years from now. If DC Comics goes out of business tomorrow. Hey guys, our new 52 thing going on, it kills DC, it flops, and everything DC has is officially a collector's item. I swear to God, if that happens, I'm gonna shoot myself in the foot.
In the foot?
In the foot. You heard in it the right foot. Here. Yeah. In the foot.
That is all I have for news, guys. So anything else?
I got one more. Homefront. I don't think did any of us even play Homefront?
I did.
What's Homefront?
Yeah.
Did you play Homefront?
I played all 3 hours of the campaign.
Homefront. Yeah, it's very, very short. Homefront's that game. It came out probably earlier this year. Was it this year?
I think it was this year.
Yeah, it was this year. Yeah.
It was when the whole like alternate history type thing where Korea invades the United States. I don't know if that rings a bell, Chris.
Yeah, it was a cool premise too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very cool premise. Yeah. But the game didn't actually. You know what? It actually did pretty well considering, but it didn't get too many. You know, critically, it didn't do that well.
Well, it did well enough financially because
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. It did well commercially, but critically, it didn't do well at all. Like they had marketing. They marketed the hell out of that game.
Oh yeah,
and I think it worked. But guess who's doing the new one? I'm kind of excited.
It better be good.
Crytek.
What?
Really?
Better off. Free Radical. They are, for those who don't know, those are the guys who did the Time Splitters games back in the day, and they also did the multiplayer for Crysis 2.
Cool. That's so very interesting, man, because they do multiplayer really, really well. For the most part, they do, yeah.
And if it's going to be on the Crytek engine, it's going to be pretty. It's going to be very pretty. Very pretty. One last thing of news, cool. Diablo 3 beta is open. Good luck getting a code. That's all.
When we were streaming on Tuesday, there was someone who was actually streaming the beta, and they had like 39,000 viewers. It was crazy.
I would believe it.
Oh, it was crazy. That's... Actually, at a conference for work, I stood in line of about 15 people deep to play a good 15, 20 minutes of Diablo 3, and had fun. And you look over to your right, and there's a line of about 250 people waiting for a beta code. It was insane. Like, the line for the beta code was way longer than their first chance to play the game ever. It was so crazy.
That is funny.
That is pretty
hopefully funny. Blizzard is pretty close with their beta, so who knows. But I don't even know, to be honest, I don't even know how you get a code. Just, I guess, go to the Blizzard website and do something, I guess. We did our research, people. I don't know.
Hey, the beta's open, good luck.
Or you can do what everyone else is doing and beg and fucking plead on Twitter, because I'm sure that'll work.
Oh my god, send me a code, I want one.
Because I deserve it.
Hey guys, let's take a break.
Let's do take a break.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about HD collections and whether or not they are worth the money. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
What up, eh? This is the Canadian Moose that runs Jeff Cherney's internet, and you're listening to Interactive Distractions. I may be slow, but don't blame me if you can't work the fucking mute button.
And welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hey, lots of HD collections coming out, and a lot of them that I'm actually pretty fucking excited about. So this is a topic that I have a feeling is going to be fun to talk about. So Travis, why don't you hit us up with some emails, man.
Let's geek out, guys.
We should do an HD remake of the show when it's done.
Ooh. It's called Running Shit Episode 2. What up?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I'm down if
not
you
while
are,
I'm
Jeff.
On the show.
We'll just wait till next time you're out. First, we got our homeboy. I believe it's Mike Strife, right? That's Mike Martignetti, right?
Yeah.
That's the dude Jeff met.
He says, hey, guys, for today's question of the week, I just need to say, hells yeah. I'm a huge sucker for this stuff. Hell, I even bought White Knight Chronicles 2 because it was practically a collection itself. I look at these like those Sega Ages collections. Sure, the games aren't as old, but it is great to have them all bundled up. I know a lot of people will see these things as quick cash grabs, or maybe even say PS3 took out the PS2 chip so they could make more money off of these. But I think packaging up a series on a single disc for $40 with some graphical improvements is a great way to try out games you never did before, or a convenient way to play those old games again. In some cases, the collections are superior enough that I sold the originals. It's unlikely I'd play the original releases of God of War, Sly, or Tomb Raider games again over these. The quality of collections so far has been great, and it's getting even better with PSP ports like God of War Origins and Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker coming out. I hate playing those games on my portable system, so now I'll actually beat all of them. Now, this may sound all glowing, but I am worried that developers are going to take things a little too far between horrible quality of the ports and them saying they weren't going to do a disc release only to end up doing it. I already got effed over with my shitty Prince of Persia collection, and the new Final Fantasy X HD thing is up in the air at this point. If it has all the content from the international version that never came out and eventually leads to an HD release of the Final Fantasy XII Zodiac version in HD, I'm all for it. But if it's the same game upscale, that seems like a waste. If you can't really, you guess you can't really be surprised, though. At least it's not another release of Final Fantasy I. Anyways, as long as companies take the time to make these collectibles worthwhile, these collections worthwhile, I'll keep buying them. But if they just shove them out the door and just start doing single HD releases, it could get pretty bad. Later, guys. But just curious, what collections would you guys want to come out next? I'd love to see a Jack collection or some RPGs like Dot Hack, Shadow Hearts, or Xena Saga.
Oh, Dot Hack. That's a good one. Because there's a lot of Dot Hack games, and they all link together.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the Jack ones.
Did he say Shadow Hearts?
Yeah, Shadow Hearts, yeah.
That would be a good one, too.
That's a good game.
I like Shadow Hearts. Shit. So
I totally agree with this. This played up like we talked about it earlier. Did we talk about that on the air or off the air? The Resident Evil 4 one.
We talked about that off the air, I believe, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, because that's strictly basically an up-res port, basically, of the game.
Yeah, the one that came... this is the one that just came out on PSN. Mm-hmm.
And Xbox Live.
Yeah, and Xbox Live. And, you know, we just happened to be chatting about it, and because I brought up the fact that it's $10 if you have PS Plus. But, you know, I already have it on Wii, and, you know, I just don't think it's worth getting it again. Yeah. Especially considering I still haven't played the Wii version. It's crazy.
Yeah. And compare it to the sort of fidelity upgrades like the God of War collection got.
Right.
Compared to what they only did with the HD collection. Yeah. And I was excited about the news, of, you know, Final Fantasy X because I really do love that game. But just thinking about it, you know, if they give it the Resident Evil 4 treatment, it will be disappointing. But, you know, like Mike says, especially with Final Fantasy 12, there's a great international version for 10, and the Zodiac collection is really, really good too. Apparently, for Final Fantasy 12. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good opportunities there, but there is a worry there. He makes a great point, and I didn't realize until he just said it, you know, it could get bad. Like this whole trend could go south.
Yeah, it might get out of hand.
Yeah,
it's getting to the point where, you know, it was successful for God of War and you know, a couple others, and now everybody wants to do it.
God of War was successful for a couple reasons. Number one, well, the PSP ones, because it's on a totally different platform.
I was talking about 1 and 2.
Well, no,
I was going to
get to that in a second.
Okay.
I was going to say, the ones on PSP, a lot of people who don't have a PSP have a PS3, and might have just been introduced to God of War. Who knows? It's basically, you're kind of changing the overall experience, because now you're going from a small little screen to whatever size screen you have at home, surround sound, all that kind of stuff, HD. So it's a pretty big jump.
3D!
And well, there's that too, if you want 3D.
Okay, don't shit on it. I am really, like, I'm bona fide, like, legitimately super excited for the 3D in Shadow of the Colossus. I think that'd be cool.
I'd like to try it, but I have a feeling it wouldn't be a situation where it would have to be really fucking good for me to do it every time, to play it every time that way.
And I think as much as God of War 2 sold really well in 1, 2 came out at kind of the end of the PS2 cycle, and I think a lot of people who really were into PlayStation played it, but a lot of people who might have picked up a PS3 before God of War 3 came out might not have. And, I mean, outside of the video stuff, they did a good job of it. Like, I don't think that was just upscale. They pretty much went and did, as far as I know, it's like it looks really good. It doesn't look like an upscaled version of the PS2 games. It looks like they, you know, went into it and really, like, I want to say up-res, but that's not what I mean. Like, redid the visuals or whatever, and it looks really pretty. And $30. And that seems to be, like, the norm, right? I mean, the Sly Collection was $30, I think.
40, I think.
What was that, 40?
Yeah, 40 seems to be the norm. The God of War Collection 1 and 2 was 40.
Is it really?
I think Origins is 42.
Yeah,
right?
it's 40. Every HD collection.
Are they both 40?
Yeah, every HD collection that has come out has been 40. And I'm sorry, I mean, I don't want them this. I hope Sony's not listening, but they could totally charge $60 for those games.
No, they couldn't.
I think they could.
You know why they can charge 40? Because you can go out and buy both of those games for 20. That's why they can charge 40.
I kind of agree with Chris, because, like, I mean, I have God of War 1 and 2 already on PS2 still here, also out the collection.
Okay. For 60, that's going too far. Maybe for 50, they can sell those for that much, and people would buy them.
Not as much.
I think. But some. I honestly thought there were 30. Like, I'm actually kind of wow. Like, I thought I paid.
Yeah, they're 40.
40.
They're 40.
Well, I love God of War, so that's probably what I was like, eh, whatever. Who cares?
I'll pay $100.
I'll do it.
God of War 1 and 2, that collection was just perfectly timed. I mean, it could not have been better timed for when it came out. It's like, hey, God of War 3 is coming out in like 2 weeks. Here's the collection to tie it over.
That was a great move.
I guess Halo's going to be $40 too, and that's the same generation.
Yeah, Halo's $40. And it's only one game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But
you get cool features,
I will
like
say,
you can see the older version.
That is
yeah,
cool.
I will say that the difference in visuals is much different from Halo.
That was an actual remake, though.
Yeah, it was an actual remake. They retextured things and shit like that. I mean, like God of War Collection, all they did was they upped the resolution and cleaned up the textures, and that's it. They didn't retexture everything.
Well, it's running at a pretty constant frame rate, too.
Well,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, that's
sure.
a given. But
that's the power right there.
Yeah. But my point is that, you know, hey, the new Halo is like, it's like what they did with Ninja Gaiden Sigma, you know, they might be using the same geometry in many places, but it's an entirely new coat of paint. And that's not what God of War is. God of War is, they just cleaned up the coat of paint that's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Not that that's bad. Just saying.
No, not at all.
Just saying.
Well, how about another email? Maybe from
let's do it.
How about one from a guy we've met before? How about that, guys?
That sounds
Who's
good.
That?
It says, hi, Third Strike crew. I would like to say that these remastered PS2 games are totally worth it for me because of the following reasons, colon.
Oh, here we go.
Number one, I don't have to hunt down each individual game and have to worry about price or condition. Number two, with all the games on one Blu-ray, hey, I save shelf space.
True. Right.
Number three, they now have trophy support, which honestly drives up my interest to play them. And number four, I think improved graphics are definitely worth the price as well. Thanks for the question of the week's Biff Sticks out.
Hey, Biff Sticks, thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Another Jeff in the house.
Yeah, I am in 100% agreement that...
say I'm 98%.
98%?
I don't think... Well, because he said he thinks that overall the upgraded graphics are worth it. But like I said with our previous discussion, if it's just like, hey, let's take the GameCube version, PS2 version, Xbox version, and just up-res it, like, you know, scale it, like whatever, upscale to 780p or 720p or 1080p, then that's not worth it alone.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree with that. But like, if they actually take it and re-render it at the new resolution, that's when it becomes worth it.
High fives at that point.
Hell yeah, fist bump.
There you go. You want to bring the high five back? Fuck the fist bump.
I know.
Okay, high five then. I'm fine with getting rid of fist bump. I have no problems with that.
Daps. All right. Coming up next is Chris.
Hey, haven't heard from him in a while.
I know, right? Chris. All right, he says, hello, Indus crew. Not all HD collections are equal.
Ooh. That's
cold.
True.
That's cold. Some of them are loveless cash-ins, like the recent Resident Evil 4 HD. Capcom did the bare minimum. Missing effects, slowdowns, insufficient texture filtering, no anti-aliasing, no move support similar to the controls of the well-received Wii version.
There's no move support?
No move support.
What?
It could have been a more worthy release, but this simple up-res job is doing it little justice, especially for just $20. The bar was raised in regard of HD re-releases. Sony's doing the absolute best job so far. The God of War collections, even being one of the first SD2 HD resurrections, got it right straight away. Same with Sly Cooper and Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collections. They went the extra mile, added 3D support, fixed and improved the frame rate. You can easily realize
that's
the care.
The big one.
And you can easily realize the care and those are well worth the price of admission. I'm currently playing the Sly Cooper set and it is such a joy. Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collection is pre-ordered. Go quality. Cheers for all the fun podcasts. Yours truly, Chris, with a capital Z.
Can I?
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for mentioning the whole frame rate thing. I am glad that people are mentioning that because that is the biggest thing. It's like, I don't care if it looks exactly the same as PS2, I want Shadow of the Colossus at a constant fucking frame rate.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've seen the videos of Shadow of the Colossus and the Ico thing. It's not that impressive in terms of like how the game looks because it still has that whole fogginess to it where I thought they were going to get rid of, like increase the dry distance. Well, it looks like kind of like they up-resed it, but if the frame rate's 60, then that's going to make Shadow of the Colossus that much more playable for me.
Is it 60 or is it 30?
It better be 60.
I thought it was a constant 60.
I hope so.
I thought it was. I hope so too.
I've only seen like videos, but I'm saying like, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, me too. I hope so.
That'll make it worth it for me too. Frame rate, I think that takes. If I can take frame rate over actual like whether they up-res or re-render the or redo the textures, I would take frame rate.
I agree, 100%.
Me,
especially for those old games.
Because that affects gameplay, and that's the thing.
Yeah. That's why I stopped playing Shadow of the Colossus. That's the exact reason. I'm like, ugh, too choppy. Because I don't forget, I didn't play it till like. It was like a year and a bit into the whole PS3 360 life cycle, so I wasn't used to you know, like 15 frames a second constant. Not fun.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, let's move along, shall we?
Do it.
Our buddy Geoff, Chris, our buddy Geoff is out, officially outnumbered. We have our second Jeff with a J email.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, it's getting crazy up in this bitch.
Two Jeffs with the J in one show.
I know, that's rough. All right,
where's
gentlemen.
Where's Nishar at?
Gentlemen, I absolutely do think these collections are worth it. I know opinions vary, but for me, $20 or so is a good price to get to revisit some classics with prettier visuals. I'm super excited for both Silent Hill and Metal Gear Solid collections, even though between all the games on the two collections, I already own about 16 copies.
Huh.
Also, I've never played any of the Zone of the Enders or Devil May Cry, so these are great opportunities to try them out.
Yeah, plus, yeah. Zone of the Enders is a good series, man. It's
fun. It is. Plus, it's nice saving these for down periods. Plus, I must say, getting me some beloved achievements in the process doesn't hurt. So I will welcome any collections they want to toss our way. Love, Better Tomorrow.
Thank you, Better Tomorrow.
Thanks, Jeff BGW.
Yeah, that seems to be a very... Okay, so he mentioned the achievements at the end. That seems to be a very big factor to this. A lot of people seem to want these collections because they can get more trophies.
Fucking
and it's like,
right.
Two games, I can get two sets of trophies.
Fucking
and two
right, dude. Dude, give me some Metal Gear Chivos on my fucking Xbox. Hell yeah.
Hey, you need to get that Chivos shirt, dude.
I do need
you
to
really
get that.
Do.
I do need to get that.
Hey guys, I don't want to bring it down, but as far as graphical upgrades go, the team has been working on upscaling textures and improving frame rates throughout both games. This is Ico and Shadow Colossus.
Uh-oh.
Both titles will now run at a steady 30 frames per second.
It's better than PS2.
And were reframed for widescreen.
Okay.
If the frames aren't there, the frames aren't there. So
yeah, and you know what? I can handle that as long as it's steady. 30 frames is still... It still looks good.
It's still the norm.
Yeah.
So it's still what we're used to, really.
Yeah.
So
I'm good with that.
Game,
I'm fine with that.
Game. Yeah. I'm good.
Next email.
How about last email? Whoa.
Last email.
I'm sorry for bringing it down. Wow. Okay. Nate S., a.k.a. Shadow Hatto.
Shadows.
A.k.a. Sends dude us. Coming to Indusfest.
Yeah.
Excited.
So he says, what's up, guys? Since I've missed the past few question of the weeks, I thought I'd throw my 2 pence in for this one. First, we'll get the easy answer out of the way. If you haven't played the games before, then these are definitely a good buy. I haven't played a God of
Agreed.
War game prior to the God of War HD collection, so when it came out, I quickly dropped 40 on it. Pretty self-explanatory. So what if you already played the games? Well, then it's a case-by-case basis, I suppose. You've already beaten the games, still own them, or both, you may hesitate. While the HD collection will be the new de facto version to play, there may not be anything new for you. For example, I still own every Devil May Cry game ever released, so I'm unsure whether or not I would purchase the new HD collection if it comes out. The best one, in my opinion, is Devil May Cry 3, and I believe the game is good enough to play without needing better graphics. Then you have situations where you own the game, but the new updated version not only improves the visuals, but also rebalances the game and adds more gameplay. I may be going slightly off path here, but I'm referring to things like Final Fantasy and the Dragon Quest remakes. While they're not technically HD collections, I believe they still fit this topic. They're still games. They're games that, while I may own the original or may have beaten them 100 times, I would gladly pay the money for the updated versions. For example, I recently put 40 hours into the Final Fantasy 1 remake on my iPad, which is the same as the updated PSP release. The game is rebalanced, technical issues were addressed, there's an additional 10 to 20 hours worth of gameplay, and lastly, the graphics and sound are enhanced. Because I've done a lot more than make it look pretty, it's totally worth it to me. If all they did was just update the graphics, I don't know that I would have bought it. Maybe at a significantly lower price, but So, all in all, it really comes down to personal preference. Personally, I don't know that I would buy an HD version of something I already own or completed unless there were additional changes like the previously mentioned Final Fantasy. The games they are remaking are games that already sold well and or are very popular among the community. While it's a great deal if you've ever played them, chances are you have. Are those games truly worth buying again? Will you put enough time in them and make them worth your money? Are you okay with spending more money to play the exact content all over again? Or are you just buying the game out of nostalgia and just want to add it to your collection? These are all
I think that's a big part.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. This actually should have been our first email, to be honest with you. These are all questions you should seriously think about. Adding it to your collection usually signifies a money sink that would have been better spent elsewhere. Something I have learned mm-hmm. the hard way. Wait until the price drops to 20 or less, and then wait till the price drops 20 or less, and then in the end, I believe you'll be much happier. I'm willing to bet you that most people who are all excited for these collections and buy them on day one will probably lose interest or even move on to something else within a week or two. Why not spend that time with something new? Sorry for the incredibly long email.
Indus first.
Shadow Hado.
Thank you, sir. The first thing I'm going to do is I think that what he said about like the Final Fantasy remakes and the Dragon Quest remakes, I think they do fit in here. However, I do not think they are worth it at first because Square puts
their Square tax.
Yeah, because they have their Square tax. I mean, even Nintendo games on DS are not $40.
Yeah, it's pretty redundant.
It's dumb. they need to lower those prices a little bit. I get those in a lot of cases, but I get them when they are cheap. Like I think I got Dragon Quest 4 and 5 on my shelf, and I got them for like $15 or $20 each.
Right. So. Yeah, that's
but
really
if he says they're adding an extra like 10-20 hours of gameplay though, that's
it's still a game that's already been made, and they are selling it for $5 more than any other DS game. Just saying.
I guess. Just trying to play devil's advocate here. I bought one of them. I think I bought Final Fantasy 3, the first one they released.
Yeah, I have that one too. Yeah.
And yeah.
But, and I think I made the mistake of spending $40 on that one too, unfortunately.
Nostalgia, I think, has a big thing to do with it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
With the Metal Gear Solid HD remakes coming out, I mean, hitting Xbox, that's a big thing. Because, I mean, I'm sure a lot of Xbox players never played those games, or at least not 1 or 3, maybe. Like, 2 came out on Xbox, but not 1 or 3, or of course not Peace Walker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they just released the collection, 4 years ago?
Yeah, but it was all PS2 games. It was PS2 games. And
yeah,
one
it was
PS1
PS2
game.
Games and the PS1 game. But I mean, still, it's still kind of like they're still repackaging it with a new coat of paint. Well, hopefully.
Metal Gear Solid 3 is actually the subsistence pack, and it comes, I believe it does come still, because it's the exact same package on that disc. So when you pick that game, you can actually still play like the Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2 ports from the NES.
Huh, cool.
All that stuff is still there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really
hard
to find.
Chances are the big people who are Metal Gear Solid fans already have the first collection. They're probably going to buy the second collection.
I do have the first collection, but I mean, I don't have the full subsistence package with all the extra games on it.
Yeah, no, no. I don't have that.
And then I also don't have Peace Walker with Twin Sticks, which officially makes it the greatest
game
ever.
Twin Sticks is going to be, that's a big thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree with that one.
The controllability. But on the other hand, Zone of the Enders, I never played any of those games.
Oh, so
two
good.
Reasons.
Yeah, they are really good.
Like, again, other games that have suffered from like some really bad frame rate is Zone, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
That, and
a better
if you
frame
want
rate.
To try to find it for PS2, you can't find them.
Yeah,
and if you do, they're expensive.
Yep.
So I like when they do that kind of stuff. When stuff's kind of rare, and like, you know what, we're going to re-release it in HD, that, to me, that's like thumbs up. Yeah. Which actually, I guess, go ahead.
I was gonna say I have both of those games on PS2, and chances are I am gonna still buy the collection for that one.
Yeah, I just bought.
I'll probably
Zone of
wait
the
until it's like $20, but I'll still buy it.
Yeah, I just bought Zone of the Enders for like $3.99, like 2 days ago.
The first one,
really?
Yeah.
Is the second one then? That's the one.
Did
that's
it have?
Really rare?
Was it complete?
It's complete.
Wow.
It even has the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo in it.
Did someone bring it into the store and trade it in or something?
Yeah.
that's probably
mint.
Why.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you can't. Yeah, they're pretty rare overall. But I mean, like that, and same with the Shadow and Eco thing. I didn't get a chance to play Eco, so
yeah, same here.
But everything I've read review wise say that's not really the reason to buy the collection because apparently it doesn't hold up too well. But gameplay wise, but hey, it's an 8-hour long escort mission.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So
that's why I didn't like it at first. But I'm gonna go back and try it again.
Maybe your tastes have changed. And you
maybe
might
that's kind of what I'm hoping. It's kind of what I'm hoping. So what collections do you guys have, and which ones are you getting?
I got God of War.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. I wanted to get Sly. I never ended up getting around to it because I never played a Sly game.
Yeah, I want Sly too, but I'm definitely waiting for like a $20.
Do you guys have this problem?
Oh, you missed it then. It was $20 on Amazon last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man.
If I don't play a series, and I know one of the games, which is, like sometimes the last game is the best one, I have a hard time going to the first game to play through all of them. Like,
yeah,
I don't
I
know what
that.
It is. It's like, if I bought that collection, I'd probably play 3, and I probably wouldn't even touch 1 or 2. Just because I know.
For Sly?
Yeah, for any games in general. Like if I totally don't play a series and then go and buy that series, whether I buy them like not HD collection or just whatever, and I know one of them, like the majority of people think, is the best one, I will probably play that one, and then I'll be like, well, that's the best one. I know it's not getting any better, so why am I going to play the other ones? And then if I start with the ones that aren't supposed to be that good, I'll be like, well, I'm not having too much fun now, so I'm just going to go to the one that's really good. That's one of my big problems with that, the collection type stuff. But
which ones are you planning on getting that are coming out?
The Eco and Shadow Colossus, for sure.
Okay.
Definitely Halo, of course.
Right.
Zone of the Enders. I'm probably not going to bother with the Metal Gear one.
Really, dude? I'm serious. I swear to everything.
I'm not a huge Metal Gear fan, though.
Really?
I love 1 and I like 4.
Because, dude, Peace Walker is super good, dude. It's good.
Also, timing. When is this coming out?
I'm not even sure, to be honest.
There's no freaking way I'm going to drop a new game that comes out for a game that's a remake of a game that came out like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm not going to do that. Like, that's why I really wish Eco and Shadow Colossus came out in the summer. Because then I would be like, okay, I'm definitely going to put in all the... Like, Shadow Colossus, I will probably play from beginning to end, because I really want to see that game from start to finish. But Eco, to be honest, like, if it doesn't grab me in the first, like, 20 minutes, and I have nothing else to play, I probably will not play that game that much. I just won't, because there's going to be too much to play. And I don't think it's releasing this kind of stuff in the midst of, like, the Uncharted's and the Gears of War and the Skyrim's and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's next year, though, right? The Metal Gear one?
I think so. I'm actually looking it up right now. So as soon as I find it, I'll let you know. Travis, which ones do you have, and what are you getting?
Again, like Jeff, I have a God of War collection. I am going to be getting the God of War Origins collection, because I'm really interested in that.
How does that advertisement go for you, Chris?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's pretty rough.
You want to delete that in post?
No, keep it in there.
I'll keep it in. Who cares?
She's very fast.
Those advertisements pop up when you're watching a lot of porn. It happens.
Yeah, it does happen.
But usually it's just a girl typing on a computer.
Hey, what's up?
What do you want to see?
You on your desktop. Yeah.
So I've heard. That's what everybody says. So, I do want to get the Origins collection, because I'm just mildly curious what the hell a PSP game looks like in 3D. Because I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But no, from what I've seen so
probably
far,
they can do Lion King in 3D.
Probably so. It did look kind of interesting at conference, because it was playable. Because, I mean, you can definitely tell it's a PSP game, but it does play a lot better than what a PSP normally looks like. So I definitely want to pick that up, but that's going to be on the cheap. I want Sly on the cheap. But I mean, Metal Gear is a must have, and honestly, I'm just getting it for Peace Walker. Peace Walker on Twin Sticks. I'm going to put another 60 hours into that game easy. I mean, it's a fantastic title, and I can't wait for that. And of course, Eco. I mean, that's day one.
Right.
I'm trying to think of anything else that was announced. I mean, Zone of the Enders.
Yeah.
Zone of the Enders on a Vita is going to be pretty hot. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Devil
May Cry, you know, I do
I'm
like
not
the series.
With Devil May Cry.
I'm probably unless I get it super cheap. Yeah, I get it super cheap. I mean, and the only one I'm really interested in playing is Devil May Cry 1, and that's just for nostalgia purposes. It's not worth a full $40 purchase for me at the moment.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Chris,
let's see. I have God of War collection. I will probably get Origins on the cheap. I got Sly on the cheap last week. I have Shadow of the Colossus already pre-ordered. I will get Metal Gear probably on the cheap, and Zone of the Enders probably on the cheap.
Anyone get Beyond Good and Evil HD?
I did not.
I didn't either. Because I played it. PC.
Just before that.
Yeah. I played it on PC for the our good old distraction that one month, and you know, it already looked fucking fantastic. So I think the HD one was just the PC version, pretty much, most likely. I skipped on that. I'm skipping the Resident Evil. That's not worth it. That's all I can think of right now. I'm actually thinking about getting Halo, to be honest with you.
Dude, I think you should, because I mean, it's going to be 4-player co-op. Is it 4-player co-op online or just 2? Because the first original was only 2-player, so I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I think it is 2.
It's probably only 2. But I think it's 40 bucks. Looks good. I mean, and they did say they changed up some things, like the library, which is the biggest fault of that game. But
yeah, I've heard that.
I'm gonna check it out anyway. But our first
big thing,
the first
Shadow Colossus.
Yeah, that's probably the number one that I want to play through. But another thing I'm worried about is too many remakes yeah, too soon.
That's what Mike was saying, right?
Yeah, it's like
it's all happening very quickly. I mean, we're seeing them stack up very fast.
Like, how long until we see a fucking Heavenly Sword HD? I know it's already in HD, but I mean, like, remake or like it's. I don't know. Of course, I'm just kind of. That's not really going to happen.
Heavenly Sword Super HD.
Yeah, it's just like I don't want to see that where they start like rehashing everything just because they know they can score off of nostalgia.
The Andy Serkis cut.
Yeah.
Never seen the game like this before.
Well, who was our first email? Was that...
That was Mike.
Mike Strife?
Mike Strife, yeah.
He mentioned what kind of series would we look for? Like, what would we look forward to for an HD remake? Like, collection. So I will say two games or more. Like, a series that has two games or more that you'd really pay money to play them through again.
And now Madden we won't 11. Talk... What?
Fire.
Epic movie!
Man. Joe Montana, Sports Talk Football. Let's go way back.
He dropped back with the pass.
I just because I love this game, I mean, I don't want it as a collection. I would just love to see this game, like you know, just polished up and widescreen and everything. But I bring it up all the time when we talk about PS2 games we love. It's Ultimate Spider-Man, the cel-shaded Spider-Man.
Right.
Yep, I would love to see that in HD. That would be a fantastic looking game.
Okay.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
My PS2 games right now.
I have one series right now that I would love to see remade, and I know one of the games will never, ever be remade just because the source code is lost and gone forever, but it's a Panzer Dragoon.
Panzer Dragoon, yeah.
Yeah, Panzer Dragoon series. I would love to see that remade in HD. I think that'd be really awesome.
They would have to work pretty hard on those Saturn games, though.
Oh my god, yeah, it would be a...
They
look
like
they couldn't just up-res those. They would have to do like
you need
a
to retexture everything.
Yeah, they'd have to do the Halo CE anniversary.
Yeah, they'd have to, but they'd actually have to go down and rebuild the geometry too because the Saturn 3D was just horrible. It was just bad.
Yep.
I mean, even Saga is just it's just really hard to go back to.
Maybe the Hitman games, like get the PS2 ones, get those up-res. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But anything else, you can't really say PS1
really
games.
Anything.
Like, because, I mean, of course, like, I'm
you
surprised.
You wouldn't want to see a Symphony of the Night fucking redone in, like, HD hand-drawn sprites?
I would, that's a complete remake, though. That's not like
exactly.
An
if they're going to do that, I would rather them make a new one.
Yeah.
I am happy with the, like, six or seven times that I've beaten Symphony of the Night.
Right.
I would love to see it, you know, a proper HD remake to that game, but I would rather see them make something new that is using the HD sprites. I want to see that.
And it's respect, though. And of course, I know you're going to agree with me, Chris, but, like, it still holds the hell up, like, super,
hell yeah, it does.
Super good,
hell yeah,
man.
It does.
That game's
the only
gorgeous.
Thing they need to do is, like, sometimes the frame rate drops in that game, and that's it. I mean, that was the only thing that I ever had a problem with in that game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a Mario HD remake from, like, 1 to 3 or, like, 1 to World. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Well, they kind of did that with Super Mario All-Stars. Like, they redid the graphics
on
those.
They redid it from NES to Super Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks really good. Yeah.
True. I wouldn't. That would be kind of a remake, too. I was going to say, like, you know, 3D, but 2D, but yeah.
And can I be honest with you? I'm really surprised no one was like, I want, like, Final Fantasy VII remakes and stuff like that.
Well, that's coming eventually. I mean, they're doing it Final Fantasy XII or X. We did we talk about that at all?
Yeah, but we brought it up a little bit. You can do that, though, because that game could translate a lot better into an HD, you know, widescreen and everything, but you can't do stuff like that with, you know, a PS1 era game like Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
You would have
It'd
to completely
have to
make a new game.
Right.
As I said,
it's like Panzer Dragoon. You'd have to redo all the geometry and everything.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think Square has the money to do that. People want it. I just don't think Square has the capital to do that anymore. Because that would be that's a huge game, dude.
They can't fuck that up, though. If they can announce 10 games in, you know, a year. I think they could. I think they're saving it. When they're at the bottom of the barrel, like, we need some money, boom, just announce a Final Fantasy VII remake, and automatically interest is going to be peaked, and Kyoto's going to go through the roof.
No, but it's bullshit. Okay, I can fix
Square's... I'm not saying it's not bullshit.
I could fix Square's problem right now. All right, you ready for this? I'm going to blow your mind. Kingdom Hearts 3. Hello.
Well, yeah, that'll... Again,
they're making that, though.
But bring it out. It should have been out 2 years ago. It's bullshit.
But why could you just sub that for Final Fantasy VII?
Because it could, I mean, it won't make just as much money as a Final Fantasy VII remake would. Because Final Fantasy VII would make tons of money. Yeah. But, like, I mean, I don't know. I think, it's time. I mean, people have been patiently waiting. We've been sitting through some okay portable games, but majority piece of shit games that they're just throwing it out to us as fluff and everything. And I know people are going to buy it because they need that Kingdom Hearts fix. And they're toying people around. They're dicking people around with the entire series. And they just need to put out the fucking 3. But they're putting no more on some bullshit games that they need to be making, you know, better quality stuff that people are clamoring for. Because that's the point where I don't give a shit about the next Final Fantasy. I don't even want to hear another Final Fantasy game getting announced until Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out. And it's kind of you're ruining my night talking about it. So let's go.
But hey, they published TSX.
We're not talking about it. You are.
Yeah, you brought it up.
Good job, Chris. Thanks.
Fucking got yourself all the fuck fired up.
Fuck.
Way to bring yourself down, Travis.
TSX is going to bring them some money. So there you go. There's the budget. Wow, yeah. But yeah,
I don't have one. So
none of us are really opposed to it, I guess, huh?
No, not really. Like, I just don't want it to get out of hand, like Mike said. And I have a feeling
I think it's already there. I think it's literally on the verge of like
after all the announcements at E3 with all the remakes they're doing, it's getting kind of crazy. I mean, the only thing is that they're remaking things that I don't mind seeing remade. Like, I know that there's a lot of people out there that miss Zone of Enders, and I know that there's people out there that want to play Peace Walker on their PS3s and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I can accept it. But when they're going to start bringing out, you know, crazy shit that no one cares about. And
I just, I'd rather than concentrate on the new IPs and what they're working on now. There's actually a really good article. I can't remember what site it was on or who wrote it, but it was like the top 5 things that show that you're an older, like you're getting old and you're a gamer.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And one of them was to do with the whole, you believe right now there's no originality in games and no matter how much you look back in older games, they just seem better. When realistically, that's not the case. Like, I'm not going to go into the whole article, but it's a really well-written article. And when I read that one that was like the whole looking back and nostalgia thing, I was like, that is so fucking true. And I think that right now a lot of developers are taking advantage of that. They're like, you know what? It's mainly for the older demographic of gamers who have played like multiple generations that they're aiming for.
30-somethings.
Exactly. It's not the people that, you know, it's, hey, God of War 3 is coming out. Let's introduce more people to God of War 3. And like, no, there's only been how many years between God of War 1 and 3? That's not who they're going for. They're going for the people that played 1 and 2, thought they were amazing, and just want something kind of new but old to play and bring back memories kind of thing. And that's what kind of bugs me a little bit. But
right.
Yeah, I get you.
Focus on the new stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's a good wrap.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm enjoying them as long as they don't go overboard, which
word.
I think we might be doing. Hey, let's do some new releases.
Why not?
All right.
You guys are not going to believe this.
What's that? What?
Repeat sent us an email. Now.
Big Pete! No, not Repeat.
Huh?
Someone is subbing in. Someone's subbing in for Repeat this week.
Oh, okay.
So let's Fluffy see how
Nuts!
We do.
Hiyo, Endus. This is Mr. Nap attempting to do new releases of the week. Since you mentioned previously that Repeat was kind of on hiatus, I just wanted to try filling in this week for him. The main reason why I wanted to try this is because I know for sure you guys don't know about 2 games coming out this week, and I really, really want to bring some attention to them. So
Nepotism?
This is entirely up to you if you want to use this voicemail or not, but
Mr.
here
Nap?
I go, trying to do the new releases.
Salt
coming
Nepa?
Up for all the platforms is FIFA Soccer 12.
Fuzzy
should
Apple?
I say. Football for the European crowd. Nah, I'll just go with soccer. FIFA Soccer 12. It's even coming out for the PS2. That's unusual. And coming out for all the consoles is Cabela's Big Game Hunter 2012.
Hell yeah.
And X-Men Destiny. Yeah. And coming for just the HD consoles is, for download, is Resident Evil Code Veronica XHD. Much like Resident Evil 4 HD, it's a quick port of the old one.
Boo.
And also Pro Evolution Soccer 2012, which is kind of odd that they're skipping the Wii when FIFA Soccer 12 is not. Anyway, for DS is something I really wanted to bring attention to is Solatorobo Red the Hunter. This is more or less a spiritual sequel to a previous game I've never actually played the previous one, so I can't say too much about it. But this is an action RPG for the DS that is made by CyberConnect, the same company that has been pumping out the Dot Hack games for a long time now. So it's very interesting to see them try out a new game that isn't from the Dot Hack series. And it's coming from Xseed, which they are including a soundtrack with the game. And very odd for this game is that it's already been released in Europe for a few months now. It's usually the other way around, but this time around, Europe has had it first. Very odd. And hitting PS3 is the Team Ico collection, which of course is coming with Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. I don't really need to say anything more about them.
No, and then also...
Another collection coming out this week is Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell collection, which will be including the first three Splinter Cells all in one little collection. Also coming out for PS3 is Child of Eden. It's already been on Xbox for a while now, and it came with Kinect support, and the PS3 version will be coming with Move support, which I would assume is quite nice. And then lastly, the other game I really wanted to bring attention to would be Atelier Totori, which is an RPG made by Gust. It's a long-running traditional RPG series made by them that has always had a strong emphasis on synthesizing. It's been on several platforms by now. And this is a trilogy series for PS3, where this is the second in the trilogy. All three are already out in Japan, but we're just getting the second right now. We're getting the second as a regular edition for $50, or you could pay $60 and get a edition that comes with the CD and an art book, which is quite nice. It's being published by Nippon Ichi, and that's it for new releases. So, Mr. Knapp out.
Thanks, Mr. Knapp.
In all seriousness, you know, we joke with this dude a lot because he came to IndusFest last year and dude fell asleep, but it was during Proto Man.
Right next to the speaker.
But in all honesty, dude was awesome. It was great meeting him and actually hanging out with him. And he is an RPG fanatic, guys, so that's why he's bringing attention to these games. So if you're into RPGs, if you go back and listen to what he said again, because he knows what he's talking about from the RPG perspective. He covered pretty much everything. I'm like looking through what else is coming, and most of the things don't actually have solid dates. Air Conflict's Secret Wars for the 360. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that he missed. So I don't see anything that he missed. That was a good job.
All right.
He didn't mention anything on 3DS, so let's see what's coming for 3DS. Nothing. Great.
All right. Cool.
Let's move on. Pick of the week.
What a surprise. Nothing.
What do you guys think? Pick of the week.
I'm going with Shadow Eco Collection.
Eco Collection.
Yeah. Unanimous across the board. Let's do that. All right, cool. Well, let's do some emails.
Why not?
Okay.
Go,
all
Travis.
Right, coming up.
Travis, email, go.
We got another MyPSN08. What up? Like always, busting up with emails. And first off, I want to thank the Industream crew for making me buy Burnout Crash on Tuesday. I love that game, and it is so much fun. This leads up to my question for you all. This and other PSN and other indie titles on PS3, Xbox 360, or even Steam against top graphical games on discs. I personally am enjoying some of the lower graphic games on PSN and Steam and find some to be more fun than some of the higher graphical crap on discs. I mean, some games on discs look very pretty, but the controls suck ass and can ruin the fun. I bought a lot of cheap-ass games on Steam for the price of a $60 PS3 title, and I'm having a blast with them. I guess I like old school games. I guess I like the old school games too. And on Steam, I got Breath of Death 7 plus another title for $3 and got lost in it first play for 4 hours straight. I'm glad you all talked about Bastion on the 360. I plan to get it soon with the soundtrack on Steam.
Definitely do that.
Yes. Again, what are your thoughts on games like the PSN, Xbox Live, and indie games versus some of the crappy disc-based games? Oh, and last thing goes to Chris. I also like the OC Remix site for gaming music and been using it since it came onto the interwebs. From Mike Indus 08. Whoa!
Mike Indus 08.
Handle change alert. What up?
Awesome. Well, yeah, OC Remix. If you guys haven't checked that out, it's ocremix.org. They have a huge selection of just remixed video game music, and it's a lot of episodes that I've been editing. I've been actually throwing in some of that that music and pushing it out there. So if you guys are into that, then check it out. So Burnout Crash is really good. What else did he mention?
He mentioned what do we think about Xbox Live, PSN, indie games versus the crappy retail games. I wouldn't say retail games and disc games are crappy by any means.
Well, here's the thing about for me, here's the thing that I like about these like arcade downloads. If I download a game and it's crap, I don't feel so bad because I only spent like 5, 10, 15 bucks.
Right.
You know, and in a lot of cases, there's a trial, like especially on Xbox Live. So that's a great thing. Xbox Live, you just go download the trial. If you like the trial, you buy the game. If you don't like the trial, don't buy the game. So, I mean, I am huge on physical media. I love having something on my shelf. But you know what? These little games that are, you know, costing us like 10, 15 bucks, some of them are really fucking good. And I am glad that we have this option. I mean, what was it like 2 years ago? One of them, a downloadable game, won 360 Game of the Year from us. Shadow Complex.
Shadow Complex.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
that's you know, there. It's
oh,
it
that was
shows...
news we didn't talk about.
What's that?
Oh my god! Because originally they said, look, Epic said that they were actually Shadow Complex 2, but it got put on the back burner because they were put on something else. I can't remember what it was. But then in a recent interview, like literally a couple days ago with Cliffy B, they brought up Shadow Complex. And he said, oh yeah, it's way more than like, you know, it's well in design right now. And, you know, they have no announcements,
awesome.
But it's, yeah, so.
That's fucking awesome.
Good to know. Yeah, that is awesome. But, yeah, I mean, from an overall standpoint, I love the fact that we're going this route. And I do love the fact that, you know, if you buy something and you don't like it, it doesn't hurt so much. So,
True. All right.
Uncomfortable silence. Anything else?
Yeah.
No.
How about another email? Let's end the silence with a final email.
All right. It's
from home skillet JG92.
Home skillet.
He says, hey, Indisciples, you may remember a few weeks back I asked you what a good game to ease myself into PC gaming would be, and you answered Portal 2. Awesome. I have a laptop that can run it, a wireless mouse, a super sexy slim white keyboard on the way, and HDMI output on my laptop. Now here's the trouble. Buying the game from Steam. Is there a way to do it without using a credit card or debit card? Is there anything like PSN cards, which, by the way, in my local video game store named Game, we've just been given the opportunity to buy PSN content just at the store, which is great. Now, why can't Steam do this? How hard can it be to release prepaid Steam cards? They'd be making a killing. But for now, is credit and debit cards the only way to buy? Thanks, guys, and keep up the awesome work. And IndisFest, I wish I was going.
IndisFest?
Unsmiley face. You, manly gentleman, as usual, Mr. JG90 Deuce. Extremely smiley face with a wink.
probably spelled out.
I don't know of like prepaid Steam cards.
Steam is. I'm not the biggest Steam user, but I mean, I may be wrong. But I mean, as far as I've seen, I've bought a couple of things on there. And the only thing that I've seen for options are debit and credit.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any Steam cards.
No.
The only thing I could suggest is if you have the ability to order from Amazon. But I mean, if it's a credit card thing, then you're going to need a credit card from Amazon too. So
yeah.
It's hard to say, but sometimes you can download games. You can get download codes from Amazon that plug into Steam.
Right.
And there
are other options and everything because, you know, GameStop bought that, Impulse digital purchasing website and everything. So it's basically, you know, what Steam is doing as well. It's not available now. Because as of right now, you can only use, you know, PayPal and, PayPal credit or debit. But in the future, you will be able to soon, you know, trade in your games in store, but you can save your credit and buy in store, or you could choose to use that trading credit and use it online. So there are options that are not your credit card or debit card in the future for digital purposes and everything. So it's coming. Why places like Steam don't do Steam points or Steam monies? I don't understand why not. It just seems...
I'm gonna throw a thought out the window.
Cool.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep. It was awesome.
But I mean, it's coming. But I mean, it looks like there are going to be options. I can't imagine, especially if GameStop does, you know, really soon put that initiative out where you can use store credit. I would almost think that Steam would have to have another option for people that's not debit or credit. They would have to.
They're doing pretty well.
They're doing so well. Yeah,
but I mean, they can. I mean, it's they have a place where you can enter in a code, so it's not like they can't.
That is true.
You know, like prepaid cards.
And so I guess you can have.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
You can always have someone gift it to you as well, I suppose. Right? I mean, if you want to go that weird route.
Actually, yeah, you could. You'd be like, hey, dude, use cool file. You know,
give you this money, gift it to me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that'd work. That's a good workaround, Travis. Wow, you have your thinking cap on.
He has using GameStop
the old
cap on.
This the old big brain. So anyway,
the Kraken's getting to me.
Hey, let's do a few endless questions.
Why not? It's been a minute.
All right. We got one from Aggie CEO on the Twitters. He's saying, endless questions. Why are you guys still calling that a working title? It's been a few months now. Of course, this is in relation to Industream working title.
Of course.
We didn't have an actual name for it for a while. So why is that, guys?
It's part of the joke.
Part of the joke, yeah. It's kind of the stuck official name. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of stuck now. So we didn't actually intend it to be that way. It just kind of happened. So there it is. That is why, Aggie. So tune in every Tuesday, and we'll see you there. Do it. All right, I got Jack Bauer, or Dark Bauer, on Twitter. He says, in his questions, will Chris make Liam watch the Star Wars prequels?
I won't make him, but I will watch them while he's around.
Okay.
And see if he wants to watch them. See, I don't have the huge distaste for the prequels that everybody else does. I don't think they're great movies. They're definitely not as good as the actual three Star Wars movies. But, you know, I mean, from an origin story perspective, I don't mind, you know, there's parts of them that are redeeming. Like, I'm sorry.
Like
I
the
mean,
Darth
I,
Maul fight.
I mean, what's that?
Like the Darth Maul fight.
That was the Darth
the only
Maul
thing
fight.
I can remember.
Yeah, that was huge for me. I thought that was just awesome to watch that.
That was awesome, actually. I was being honest. That's the only thing I can really say that I really liked out of all three of them. But I say don't show it to them. Just pretend they don't exist. Just like water levels in games.
I have to pretend that the entire Blu-ray collection doesn't exist because fucking George Lucas likes to ruin his movies and fuck with
He likes money. That's what he likes.
Likes being an asshole. Yeah. Bastard.
Well, Navishin186 on Twitter says, which game has the best water level? In other words, which ones suck the least?
I remember Darksiders having some pretty decent water.
That's what I was going to say. It's not that Darksiders had good water levels. It's just Darksiders didn't let you drown, and you could still attack while you were underwater.
Yeah.
So
it just sucked the least.
Yeah, it sucked the least.
Yeah, and I was gonna say that. And the water levels in all the God of War games aren't that bad because they're short and sweet, and you're not doing too much.
And you can't drown, and you can still somewhat attack.
And I'm gonna go old school. Like the old school Mario 1 water levels were awesome.
Fuck you.
any of the water levels in any of those side scrollers, I hate.
Oh, dude,
especially
you.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
What? Come on. No, Sonics were bad, but the Mario ones were great. Come on. Come on, man. That shit was awesome.
Dude, those little fucking squid pissed me off.
Now, come on. Now, Ninja Turtles 1. Now we're talking some disgust.
That was just terrible.
That was rough.
That was terrible.
That was probably the worst of all time, actually. Because it was like, you had to be like ridiculous to even beat that game. You had to have a lot of luck, first of all.
Yeah.
And some skill.
You know, one guy. I think I did beat that game once.
I never got past the water level where I had to defuse all the bombs. I either ran
out
of time or I died.
I did get past that.
Without cheating, anyway. With cheating, you can get by it. But
anyway, let's keep going.
You're awesome. Jack Bauer says again, Dark Bauer, not again. Just another question. Do you think the Avengers movies film will be awesome or crap?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say, with the way Marvel's been treating their movies lately, and they're pretty serious about them, I'm going to say it will not be awesome, nor will it be crap. I think it will be good. Entertaining. I don't think it's going to be shit. It's not going to be like Daredevil or anything, or like X-Men 3 or anything like that.
I'm indifferent. I'm just not a fan of the casting of a lot of those characters. I mean, aside from Iron Man, I'm just not a fan of who they casted for the majority of those characters. So, I mean, I might not even see it in the theater, to be honest with you. I might just hold off until, you know, until later on.
Cool. Biffstick says, how much could you bench press in the prime of your life?
Oh, wow.
What you mean I'm not there yet? What do you mean? Like I'm out of the prime? Is that what he's getting at here?
I haven't reached my peak. I'm still a growing boy, so I got some growing to do.
What's the most that you've been able to bench press in the past?
Honestly, I don't even fucking remember.
I remember doing
over my weight when I was like whatever, like it was three times. It doesn't count unless you do it three times or something like that. But yeah.
I think the best I ever did was I was able to do like when I was a senior in high school, I could bench about 2 1/4.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So. That's definitely pretty good.
I couldn't do that now. I could probably the last time I was when I had a personal trainer for a while, and I was maxing at about 200 with the personal trainer. So I would like start my workout. I'd warm up with like 135, then push to 155 and do a few some reps, then 175 and then 185 and then go back down. So
yeah, that's kind of like what I did too. And if I did put a lot of, I wasn't really counting the weight. I'd be like, okay, now I can do these two big plates. I'm going to add like two smaller ones like on each side and see whatever. And I could, if I really want to sit here and be like, what were those weights worth in terms of weight? Maybe, but honestly cannot remember. So just to say, answer the question, 600. I'm not saying what that is, just 600.
I could leg press that.
That's a shitload of weight.
That is a shitload of weight. When I was in high school, man, I could leg press about 800 pounds.
Holy fuck, dude.
I squatted 400.
Oh my god, that is ridiculous. There's no way I would be able to squat 400 pounds. No fucking way. Dark Bauer again. Did anyone at your school have unfortunate nicknames? Someone I knew was known as Skidder. Pretty obvious why. I'm guessing because he has skid marks in his pants.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I can't think of any nicknames that anybody had.
There's one girl at my high school that everyone called Baraka.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did she have like a horrible grill or something like that?
Yes, oh, that's exactly why. Yeah.
That's horrible.
And there was another girl who had a nickname Skippy.
And Skippy?
That's because there was a rumor that she put peanut butter down in her junk and let her dog lick it. I'm sure everybody has heard a story like that at some point in their lifetime.
That's a little creepy.
Yes.
Creepy.
Yeah, I can't think of any.
I can't think of anything. And there's some good ones, too. I know there are, and I just can't think of
it. It's been
right
so long, man. We're way out of our prime. How are we supposed to fucking remember this shit? There's no way. And then now Shin follows up with one last one. Says, why are game console clocks never accurate? Seems that it takes less than a week, and it's already 5 minutes too slow or fast.
Agreed, and I don't know why.
The same reason that many programming languages have trouble doing basic arithmetic. Because everything's in binary. That's going to be my guess.
Sure. I'm just going to say, fuck, I don't know.
I don't actually know if that's the problem, if that is the problem, but I know that...
But what is the real time, though? Like, what do you base it on? Do you base it on TV? Do you base it on the internet?
I base it on my phone, because it's getting it from a satellite.
That's usually what I base mine, which would be probably the same as, like, my phone right now is totally matched up with my PC, actually.
Right.
Like, exactly.
Well, you're synchronized, man. You're just set to go.
Why can't they just, you know, have the consoles, you know, send a signal up to the internets? Because I'm pretty sure they're, you know, they're connected these days, right? I think so.
Yeah, actually, the PS3 does do that.
Yeah, but it's PS Plus exclusive, though.
That's right. My PS3 clock is wrong. It's not the same as this one.
But when you set it, you can say set via the internet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it won't keep that. It should do it automatically. I don't know why it doesn't. My computer and my phone are synced up. They both say 12:15 right now.
Yep, same here.
Good stuff.
Crazy. Well, that's all the Enos questions this week. All
right, cool. Let's do question of the week and go get the hell out of here.
Let's do it.
Next week, we want to know. Tell us what games that you are ashamed to say that you missed out on. Like what games that everybody loves that you haven't played? Tell us about those games. We're taking it light the week before IndusFest. So
yeah.
So if you want to answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That is 706-760-4337.
It's like Lee, but it is quite not.
Not quite. You can get us on Twitter as well. We are Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
G-E-O-F. We also have a Facebook group that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. And I believe, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there, because I believe that Nate has been given control of the Steam group, which is Interactive Distractions. So if you guys are on Steam and you want to join our stream group, go ahead and do that too. That's all I got, though. So you guys want to wrap up with any? You have anything before we wrap up?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Indus Fest.
No. Indus Fest.
Indus Fest.
It's happening soon.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it.
5 stars.
So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.